The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Jets Week here at Gillette Stadium, and that started full force today with all the media access. And good stuff. It's always fun with Jets Week. It's still a rivalry, not in terms of on the field, but just like off the field. I think Jets fans, Patriots fans, you know, we hate each other, and it's good. It's all in fun.
But they're also not irrelevant.
No,
I mean, they've done better than many expected this year.
I have to give Rex Ryan credit because I still think he's a lame duck coach, but he's got his guys playing hard, and that's a difficult job for a guy who, you know, it's known that he probably won't be here next year making decisions. You got the GM who wants it to be his team, you know, yet he's got these guys really competing with not a lot of talent. You know, they've got talent on defense, but
they're playing well on defense. There's no smoke and mirrors on defense. No, they're playing well.
They're playing well
offensively.
And it's not like every game, every play they're blitzing, doing that crazy stuff. They're mixing it up, they're matching, they're game planning. You know, so they're playing. I got to give them credit there. But, you know, we still hate them, and it's still, you know, the losses are sting a little bit more. The wins are, you know, you celebrate a little bit more when you're playing the Jets. So that's this week. So it's good stuff. You know,
I'm just glad he's relying on the fans to win the game for him.
Right. Once again, you know, call on the fans. That's okay. You know, maybe we should do that a little bit more here. Is call on the fans to do a little bit more work instead of leaving halfway through the game.
Ooh, snap.
Well, you know, hey.
Whoa. Don't be dramatic like Andy. It wasn't halfway through the game.
But there's something to be said about, you know, fans making it a home field advantage.
Like KC, did you see they broke the record?
Is that right?
They broke the Seattle record at 137 decibels or something.
That's getting a little silly, I think, you know, this whole thing.
What do you think our decibels are at? 47.
Yeah. I don't know. I see a lot of people napping in the stands.
So. Wow, you're really down in the crowd.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Well, but besides the Jets, there's a lot to talk about here internally. The bad news this morning, placing Jerod Mayo on season-ending IR, which, that's terrible news.
That's huge.
You know, you've lost one captain in Will Fork, now another in Gerard Mayo. Just, you know, I'm not saying it's devastating. I'm not saying the season's over, but it's really going to be tough.
Right. It's on and off the field. It's the leadership. It's the mentality he brings, the swagger, but also just the fact, you know, 100 tackles. He's like Wes Welker of defense. He's played 6 years, and he was going to have 600. He's only going to finish with 70 this year or whatever
it is. He rolls out of bed and gets 100 tackles.
And give him credit. He's made more plays in the last year and a half than I think he did in that first four-year span there. I think he's a much improved player. I think he likes the 4-3. He has sort of gotten into that. And, you know, he's what you counted on at linebacker. For all the Spikes love that you've had on occasion or the Hightower love that you've had on occasion, Mayo was accountable. Mayo was steady. The other two, we'll see. Right. They're going to need to step up now. It's time to put their big boy pants on, as Larry Johnson said, and play.
We'll talk in the show about what the Patriots might do to adjust and who might go where. Other news, we don't know any more about Tlaib than we did after Sunday.
4 o'clock.
Danny Amendola is on the watch list. Dan Connolly's on the watch list. Julian Edelman, I think, will be on the watch list. I think he's going to pop up with something.
Certainly looked like he had a few different things.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hurting. We're hurting.
For certain.
It was interesting. Did Bill mention that Armstead will not start practicing yet?
Neither Harrison nor Armstead will begin practicing today, or didn't sound like this week. Basically, and he kind of mentioned yesterday that they would talk about it, and if they don't start today, well, we'll revisit it next Tuesday. So it looks like it's at least one more week for those two guys.
They did bring up, what's his name from the practice squad?
Who?
Forston last week. And
they re-signed Neblett. Neblett
Aaron
today.
Neblett.
Andre Neblett. And they added a guy that I can't think of his name to the practice squad.
I'm thinking of Aaron Neville. You know who I'm talking about, Paul? Paul knows.
I do. That's why
Is he the guy with the big, he's got like a big mark and he sings like love songs?
I think
I don't know much, but I know I love you.
Yeah. So, this is going to be a tough week.
Fred just rattled off the injuries, the watch list. He put it on, and then he goes, just sighed. He had to, like, didn't say anything. He just sighed.
Yeah,
Travis Howard was the
Travis squad. Howard, the former Ohio State
cornerback
they added to the practice squad. Right. A little taller guy, 6'1".
So it's
interesting
that
tall
good thing
corner
the
hurt.
Patriots are playing the Jets this week. That's all I can say.
Why?
Because their offense stinks. And I think
I don't know. Bill said they're explosive. They put 500 yards on a couple weeks ago in
Buffalo. So now you listen to them.
I think you're right, though, Fred. I think this is because there's a chance that you're without Mayo. There's a chance you're without Tlaib,
right.
And it's good that you're playing a defense, an offense that probably isn't going to be able to take advantage of that.
Right.
At
Maybe.
Least not as much as someone else might have.
Unless they take their Pro Bowl center and say, "Whoa, Chris Jones, Joe Villano, we're going to run it down your bleeping throat. You got no Mayo."
Yeah, but you know how that works. You can always stop that if you just devote enough personnel to do it.
Yeah, but they're not inept. If you have to sell out to stop the run,
they can be.
Stephen
though.
F. Hill could beat you deep.
But they can be
announced. I don't know if that's his name.
At times.
Oh, yeah.
Look, if
and that's what I think
so
that,
can we.
No, I understand that.
Any team can be inept at any time. Do you expect this offense to put a lot of points up against this defense?
I think they're going to do better than last game.
I do too, Fred.
I'm not sure they could worse.
They scored 13 last game.
But I think they're going to be in the 20s, and I think especially early if Brady.
I think you're going to work to get to the 20s.
I think you're going to need help from the Jets' offense to get to the
mid-20s. Brady comes down immediately and scores, these fans turn quick at that stadium.
Quicker than ours.
And then they get a few three and outs by their offense, and all of a sudden the fans start getting nervous, and you know the home field advantage goes away.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the physical matchup on the field. I think this defense is pretty good. They're not going to let you run the ball. Number two in the league in rushing. You know, they have those two big guys that are now kind of collapsing the pocket as well with Wilkerson and Richardson. I don't think this is an easy matchup. And, oh, by the way, what does the offense look like? You mentioned it. Edelman could be on there. Amendola could be on there.
Right.
We don't know about Gronk.
Look
we don't
Colley
know.
Colley now, though.
Is that the Ridley's Fred sigh?
No, that was more of a grunted His was a sigh of just exasperation. No, that was a lustful sigh. Sorry. That was a different sigh.
All right. So.
He also took a shot at the fans. Maybe we should start calling our fans so they don't leave halfway through the game.
You said that?
Yeah.
And played the role of Andy. It wasn't halfway through the game. It was 3 minutes to go, whatever it was.
No, but, I mean, we were making fun of Rex Ryan a little bit for once again asking the fans to get involved and all that. And I go, maybe we should try that, you know.
And then I wondered. Kansas City's decibels were 137.7. What do you think ours are?
Did they get it?
Yeah.
That record that they wanted to get?
Yeah. Fred doesn't buy it. He thinks it's getting ridiculous.
Well, I kind of agree with Fred. And I also think that when you're sort of having a promotion to do it, doesn't it devalue it a little bit?
It's not organic.
Yeah.
You think if we promoted it, we could do it?
No.
No. I don't think we have the same kind of structure to the stadium that would allow it.
I don't think we have the same sort of structure to our fan base that would allow it.
You don't think that if you had something that you promoted and you said, okay, we need you to do X, Y, and Z, that they wouldn't be, you know.
I don't know.
I think they would be.
Can you cheer through a beer and some cheese?
A beer?
Or a beer and cheese crowd.
What if someone actually, what if you did that type of promotion, someone actually hurt their eardrum or throat? Could you
sue? Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't win, but you could sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think there is a point where they say above a certain decibel, it does hurt.
Oh, they're
ear.
Right at it. They're at that. They're right at that cusp. I don't know if they've passed it or
don't a lot of Seahawks fans bring earplugs?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
Patriots fans do not.
Maybe that's why they're so loud, because they can't hear themselves.
Right.
So it makes them
like when
loud.
We have our headphones on. What'd you say?
Right.
Our fans bring the Bose Quiet Comfort and just relax.
You really
take a lot of shots at the fans.
Taking a lot
today.
Of shots.
I call it like I see it. I always do.
You do?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email
I really
address.
Think the Falcons are going to win, but I can't pick them. Calling it like he sees it, Fred Kirsch.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Paul just came back from some TV camera.
Yeah, I shot All Access and then 3 points with Perillo, and I was joking with Kevin. I was out in the stands, and there's a lot of work going on. There's a Revs game. The next home game here at the stadium is a Revs game there.
It's a big, important game.
They're clearing the field and getting that ready, and there's a lot of maintenance work going on. So Matt Johnson, the camera guy, and I are going back under the concourse, and some guy drives by in one of those utility cars. He goes, "Hey, sunshine.com."
That's great.
So I just laughed.
That's good stuff. Because when you're on TV too, right?
Correct.
I don't realize that.
You obviously did because you said it.
No, but I just...
No, because he always listens to it on the stream.
Listen, but
and
I could
doesn't
just,
realize he could just put power
just,
on his TV.
I could just watch it on TV, and I should do that.
Why?
Just to see it.
You want to look at Paul?
Just to make sure that when someone gets
There's
upset
no
over something I say, he saw it all, and he can save me
He's
from myself.
He's not rolling his eyes when he talks his own words.
Plus, every once in a while, he'll shoot me a text and, promote the show or something like that.
Can you see, Paul? I think Brady's great in the postseason, but he's rolling his eyes as he says it on TV.
Like Fred, I only call it as I see it.
Let's talk about this loss of Mayo, because that's the big news right now. We'll find out about Gronkowski as we move into the week. We think that they're going to move Hightower inside, and this could be Jamie Collins' time
Wait,
to step
do?
Up. Is that what we're thinking?
Mayo plays outside linebacker.
Yeah. Spikes is the middle
Spikes
linebacker.
Is your middle linebacker. My guess is Collins comes in at the weak side for Mayo.
Right.
Hightower could ascend in terms of calling the plays, wearing a dot, any of that stuff, because he's more likely to be a three-down linebacker than the other two, I would say. But
I guess I'm thinking of the 3-4.
Yeah. 3 years ago, we would have had to move somebody inside.
Yeah. So Spike, but when Spikes comes out of the game, you're bringing in a defensive back anyway. So that really doesn't change much there.
Well, but they didn't take Spikes out really last week. Their nickel last week involved Spikes staying on.
Yeah, Andy and I had a good...
And I saw him running 10 yards behind another guy.
Andy and I had a
Who
good week.
Who is this
week.
Man
I don't
taking
know. What
Andy Hart-like cheap shots at the end of every sentence?
But coming off arguably the best regular season win this team has had in a couple of years.
Well, he doesn't remember it.
That's true.
We've moved on.
That's true. But Andy and I actually, talking about personnel stuff, since they lost Wilfork and then playing without Kelly, that necessitated, some changes to what they've been doing in terms of their base defense stopping the run. Against New Orleans, you can't really afford to be in your base defense expecting to stop the run. You're playing mostly in sub. Now, all year in sub, it's been Hightower and Mayo, not Spikes. The change was with Wilfork and Kelly not there, I think Bill thought he needed Spikes out there, even in the sub, to help stop the run. And that's what
As predicted.
And that's what they ended up doing, much like Andy and I predicted that they would match up Tlaib on Graham.
Good week for the defensive coordinators here on the show.
Yeah, we had a fluke good week, Andy and I did.
What's fluke about it?
Because we have a lot of things that we think they should do and that they don't usually
that
do.
That doesn't mean they shouldn't. The defense has been terrible for 3 years. Maybe if they had listened to us.
So does that strategy change because, you don't have Drew Brees back there?
Well, I think this is a team that runs the ball, so I would be stunned if Spikes wasn't a big part of the defensive game plan.
You need him in more bases.
You need to have him out there in your base.
Or situationally sub.
Powell.
But we do think Collins will get some reps.
Yeah. Now, some people think Fletcher is going to get increased reps.
I think he will get some reps because he really hasn't had any.
He hasn't played all year, so I'm not sure he will. Next in line seems to be Jamie Collins. So right. The guy at the head of the line moves, you're still next in line.
Right.
That's why we have those guys. Did you know that?
Sure.
That's what Bill said.
That's why we have a full team.
Well, I found it really interesting.
Poor Mike Reese. He kept trying.
Yeah. Well, I also found it interesting, not that it was like the greatest question in the world, but you know the fact they've lost their two defensive captains. And right. Will Fork and Mayo, and will they replace, you know, do they feel like it's necessary to name a captain?
If it's the right thing to do, they'll do it.
So I found that very comforting, that if they do something that they thought it was the right thing to do.
Right.
Now I'm okay.
Right.
And now I know that they won't do something that they know is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So we can all move on.
Okay.
Although Mankins is getting awful lonely out there at coin toss.
Andy's worried about his well-being.
Seriously, if a fight breaks out, you know, it's possible with the Jets.
Listen,
he's by himself.
The Super Bowl in Houston against Carolina. Wasn't there some?
Yeah,
that's right.
Richard Seymour and Broderick. Was it Broderick Bunkley? What was the guy? No,
Bunkley?
Brinson Buckner.
Buckner. Yes. He's a talker.
Yeah, and they kind of went at it at the opening coin toss. There, it could happen.
Mankins will be flying
Andy's
solo.
Andy's worried about our buddy Logan.
Sure, I think they. If Tlaib's okay, they should make him a captain.
He's been talked about like a captain all year. Now, the obvious choice would be McCourty.
Yeah, what are you saying to McCourty then? Like, not only you weren't.
Right.
Renamed
now we
captain,
need you. Right.
But now we don't have any, and you're still not the guy.
Yeah, because I also think there's a chance. Now, Hightower, maybe the dot question, which was funny because Brian Lowe, before the press conference, goes, so who do you think's going to ask the red dot question? And I go, what's the red dot question?
The red dot, right?
What is the red dot?
There isn't. It's a green
he
dot.
He meant the green dot?
Yes.
Oh.
I go, why don't you ask it? I will laugh out loud. And then, obviously, we talked about it, and Bill said it could be multiple guy, blah, blah, blah. But I would think a candidate would be Hightower, because he's probably going to be your three-down linebacker that stays out there all the time now. But the safeties might also be a candidate.
I was just going to say McCourty could be the guy.
Right. Yeah. Now, the question is communication. It's traditionally a linebacker. I mean, I feel like 99.9% of the time over my lifetime, the linebacker is the play caller, the signal guy, everything.
Right. They're the closest to everybody.
Plus, the linebackers practice. Right. You know, because Bill talked about sometimes communication doesn't work and you do have to go hand signals. You know, he's already been a middle linebacker, Hightower I'm talking about, here for times in practice and in preseason. So I would think Hightower would become the dot guy, but McCourty would be a plausible option. Could Ninkovich be a captain?
Yeah, I think so.
I kind of think Ninkovich
to
would
me,
be
it's
a captain.
Ninkovich, yeah. McCourty, Tlaib. Those are the three guys that I think you lean on.
But he signed a contract extension. He seems like he does everything right. He feels like, you know, kind of that perfect Patriot guy that says everything right. And I like him.
Yeah, my concern here is not necessarily.
See, that's what I mean. If we were on TV, people would have seen you shrug your shoulders, roll your eyes at me.
Okay.
What is wrong with you today?
Oh, shoot. I got to go soon. What time does Brady start?
12:20.
Yeah, you should probably go just in case and see if you can get guy outside.
Alfonso Denner, do you have any questions you'd like me to ask? I'll pose it real quick. Guys.
Ask him what he thought of the season of Pretty Little Liars.
Paul, Fred, do you have any questions?
I would if I thought about it, but I haven't thought about it.
Thanks.
So,
I haven't either, so.
Have fun.
Thanks for the help.
All right, Andy's going to go to the locker room.
Yeah, you can see if you can get a camera guy to come outside with you if you see Aaron.
To stay outside.
What did he say?
I don't know. He just left. All right, web radio.
What did you think of Jim Irsay's comments?
I think it was only a matter of time before he got in trouble. And now, not that he's in trouble, but in hot water. I thought that they were not sensitive, or I shouldn't say sensitive, but not well thought out. And I think it really was disrespectful to Peyton Manning. You really think Peyton Manning was the reason you didn't have more than one Super Bowl ring?
It's ridiculous. First of all,
and the fact that you got one.
That's exactly
you know,
that. That to me,
there's a lot of teams that don't have any.
Like, do you know what you sound like when you sit there and you say, they have three, they have two, I only have one?
Right.
Do you know what that sounds like?
Right.
And by the way, Baltimore doesn't have two. Baltimore had one then, and they had one last year. Like, that to me is not the same team.
Well,
I know Ray Lewis was
on
the team,
but
that's it.
They've had two since Manning's been in the league.
No, I know, but that's ridiculous.
Well, I know, but the whole thing's ridiculous. You know, the fact that you know, I see what he's saying. You want to be kind of built for the playoffs and all that stuff, but it's just he's.
But does he really think that the problem was Peyton Manning didn't have them built for the play? So their star, as he called it, the Star Wars approach. Why don't you worry about building a defense?
Right.
And I'm not trying to be defensive of Manning. He got knocked out in the first round too many times.
Yeah.
I mean, some of that's on Manning. I'm not dismissing him of blame here, but he said it himself. Tom Brady didn't always have consistent numbers when he won. Well, when Tom Brady got consistent numbers, how many has he won?
Right.
And again, it's too simplistic to say that.
Right.
Just like it's not fair to Brady when we say that.
Right.
It's not fair to Manning.
No, and I guess people who then dissected it said he was also taking a shot or taking more of a shot at Polian.
Absolutely.
Now, that's okay. that's fine. I have
but
no
it absolutely was a shot at Polian because he's talking about how they were built.
Yeah.
That's not Manning's fault. He's not the one who decided to,
The week that you're going to honor him. Awkward.
Don't you have a feeling that they're going to end up being down like 40-3 in the third quarter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Why would he choose this week?
And I think the Colts got something good going on, too. Yeah. I don't think they needed some crap like that.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily – here's where I think it shows up. I don't think that Denver is going to play any – Manning was already going back to play Indy. And even though Manning has been classy about it, you know deep down inside he's burning to play that game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think he gains any extra motivation. I don't think it's bulletin board material or any crap like that. But where it might show up is if Denver gets control of the game, they ain't going to let up.
Right, right.
That's where it might show up.
Yeah. And it would be interesting if the Colts lose that game and that one game makes a big deal to them.
Now listen, the Colts, I think, are pretty good. I think that might be a good game on Sunday, but I also could see the flip side of it. I know that sounds, I could see anything happening.
I mean, we here in New England, we've made fun of Manning for years and the Manning face and all that stuff. But really, when you get rid of all that nonsense, how can you not like Peyton Manning as a football player?
I think of him and Brady very, very similarly.
Is there anything?
They never do anything wrong.
They don't, other than throw an interception once in a while. But in terms of who they are as a player and a person,
they carry themselves so well.
And you make fun of Manning because he does all the commercials. So what?
And plus, he's good at them.
Right. He's very.
And some of these little clips that I've seen of Brady are pretty good, too.
Right.
They're not like mainstream commercials like Manning does, but you see these little snippets. Some of them, I think, are pretty funny.
Manning makes fun of himself. He's never gotten trouble off the field. If anything, he's a great leader out there.
Let's go.
He's a gym rat. Sure. Maybe all he knows about is football. Okay. Well, but that's what he does.
Yeah. He might not be as interesting as Tom in terms of other things. I'm not so sure either way, because I don't really know Tom all that much outside of football. But,
can you have against Peyton Manning?
Nothing. Other than the fact that he's been a good quarterback for a long time mostly on teams that are your direct rivals.
Right.
And, and that's enough to hate. You know me, Fred. I hate for no reason.
Sure.
That's enough to hate.
But he's not like Rex Ryan saying stupid stuff and everything.
Right.
That,
to me, is a guy. If you're the poster boy of the Patriots fandom, you hate a guy like Rex Ryan because he's always putting his foot in his mouth.
He's poking the bear, and he's trolling, and he's trying to get, a rise out of people and that type of thing. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anything else we have to put on the table before we get to these emails that are coming?
Have I missed anything this morning in terms of updates on the injuries beyond Mayo?
No.
Information
other
regarding...
than Armstead not practicing, which...
He didn't. He was not at practice?
He was... Oh. Belichick said he's not going to practice.
Oh, he said he won't practice.
Yeah. And he said something about we'll see next Tuesday. So... so it doesn't even sound like he's going to practice this week.
Okay. See, I missed that.
Yeah. And the other guy, too, he said he's not going to practice.
Harrison. Yeah. I'm not as concerned about him.
Okay. I think
if he contributes, Mark Harrison, I think that's just gravy. But you're adding another rookie receiver who's well behind the rookie receivers that you have as a result of not playing. So I'm not really sure what you're going to get there.
Right.
But I think Armstead, potentially, he could help you.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's becoming quite a challenge this season for Bill Belichick and his coaching staff. If they do somehow make it to the Super Bowl, it would have to go down as the greatest coaching job ever in the NFL.
Well, okay.
Dan of Virginia writes in, good day, PFWers. Despite his lap band surgery, Rex Ryan is obviously still very hungry because his comments on crowd noise are just so much baloney. The Jets' victory in 2009 had nothing to do with the green sea of imbeciles at Giants Stadium and everything to do with the Jets signing former Pats backup QB Kevin O'Connell. Rex is once again either ignorant about how to win a game or panicking in the face of the Patriots. Rex guarantees equals Patriots victories. I'm more worried about a Patriots come down after a huge game with an epic finish. Which of the Patriots linebackers do you think steps up the most in Mayo's absence? Here on the Ninko being a captain. And what's the deal with the offensive line? How do they fix it? And as much as I feel for Amendola, I think that hit would have knocked out anyone. Why did the Patriots go for Amendola in the offseason rather than elevating Edelman? Edelman may have injury concerns too, but for Amendola, it seems to be an intrinsic physical thing, whereas I think Edelman's are due to his hard charging style. Well, either way, they both get hurt a lot. So what's the difference?
And I actually think that the way they get hurt is very, very similar. I think they're smaller guys that they have incredible fight to them. They've probably been told their whole lives that they're too small, right?
Yep.
And they're trying to go out there and prove a point every week about how tough they are. And I think that, you know, sometimes when you play like that, it's reckless and you end up getting hurt. Now, I think the fluke is Welker, who I think does the same thing, but somehow has managed to be able to stay healthy, at least as a Patriot he did, missing 3 games in 6 years. But I think little guys that throw their butt, we've said this for years about Patrick Chung.
Right.
Right? You can only be so physical and tough.
Well, look at Bob Sanders
your body.
From the
Colts. Always, always hurt.
Yeah,
right?
Always
now,
hurt.
Now, was he not tough?
Right.
Of course he was
huge.
Tough.
Huge. I mean,
you know,
for his size.
Like we used to say about Patrick Chung, he wants to be this physically intimidating Rodney Harrison-type safety, but he's too small for it.
Right.
And he's going to get hurt. Well, guess what? He's in Philadelphia now, and you know what happened? He's hurt.
Palomalu is another guy who just throws his body around and is hurt a lot, you know? Warren from Florida, formerly Mass, loved the show, couldn't listen Tuesday but caught it later. Couldn't believe no one questioned why Amendola was running an end around.
I did.
Perfect play for Boyce. Also, I can't believe why the Patriots are looking for receivers when they should be looking for defensive line or offensive line. Better protection for Brady would cure his accuracy problems, and game reps should cure the receivers' problems.
I think they're probably looking for all of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, they just signed a defensive lineman. Yep. And they added him back to the roster in Neblett. And offensive line, I think your offensive line has to play better. I think you have the pieces on your offensive line that you decided to invest in. You know, Wendell is the only guy on the offensive line that is not, you know, working on a significant contract. The other guys, I mean, Mankins is a first-round pick. Solder is a first-round pick. Vollmer's a second-round pick. Those guys are supposed to be better than this, right?
Right.
You don't want to see your quarterback getting sacked 9 times in 2 weeks with that offensive line. They need to play better. I'm not sure they need to be replaced. They need to play better.
Todd and Weymouth wants to know, did we watch the same game? Listening to the Tuesday show about an hour in and can't believe the level of negativity. Not that you guys completely crushed them, but not the tone I expected at all. After the Brady interception, my feeling was, what a great game. Why did they have to ruin it at the end? Never felt like the season was over. The D played a great game, even if Tompkins drops that ball. The regular season now is just prep for the playoffs. The wins and losses aren't important as long as they get to the dance. They've won plenty in the regular season and lost when it matters. With that said, someone asked Bob Ryan, who's a better postseason performer, Brady or Ortiz? And Bob waffled. I know Paul would agree, Ortiz in a landslide, not even close.
I think Ortiz has been better in the playoffs. The first part of that, I actually agree with your whole email, except for I think that we're saying the same thing, and somehow you're disagreeing with what Fred and I said yesterday, and Andy when he was here. Andy's gone now. The reason we thought it was such an important win and kind of a season saver was exactly what you just said. I think now you set yourself up to be 5-1, and even though you lost these players, you have this cushion now that can help you out. And it is sort of just crossing off the weeks to the playoffs and trying to get yourself in the best possible position. If you had lost the game, that all of those things that were still true, like you just said, the D still played a great game, and this still happened, and that still happened, even if they lost. Well, what that's telling you, if you lost, is you weren't good enough, despite playing well. And now you're losing personnel moving forward. That would have been a very damaging loss to the psyche of a young team, I think. I think that, you know, to have a guy like Kembrell Tompkins, who really did nothing all day, make the play of the game to win it is huge. I think that's a huge boost for this team.
Right.
And I don't want to put too much in a Week 6 win, but I do kind of think it was a season saver. I think if you went 4-2 and lost Mayo and Tlaib and Amendola, and, you know, who knows when any of those guys are going to be back. We know Mayo won't be. I think that can sort of snowball on you a little bit, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
you split with the Jets and the Dolphins, and you know, and then you're 5-3, and you know your whole, you know, just counting off weeks to the playoffs thing. That's not a guarantee.
Yep.
And that's why I feel like it was such an important win. I didn't diminish the win at all. I think it was one of the best regular season wins this team has had in a while.
Tim is from Texas. Second time emailer, second time read. I live in DFW. What's DFW?
Dallas-Fort Worth.
Okay, and I'm ready to drive a cauliflower truck down to Austin. He looked great in the hurry up and got a lot of separation in the middle, which has really been lacking this year. Just a thought. Austin Colley.
He caught two.
Just a thought. I know it's just another bandage change, but he definitely has Brady's trust now.
Okay.
On a different note, I have to thank y'all for keeping me so optimistic this year. Andy's referring to 03 makes me think about this year's team gelling through adversity. Paul's thoughts on how football smart this team is in comparison to others is extremely insightful and shows up every week. And Fred's optimism, just kidding, love curse words, Frankie Two Toes.
Frankie, that's why and Andy likes to make fun of this, because he belittles it into me saying there's no analysis to it. I'm just saying things work out. That's what he thinks I picked him to go 12-4. Andy says, because things just work out for the Patriots. No, what I'm saying is they're too good to get outclassed. Brady and Belichick are too good for them to go out there and be down by three scores. And to me, when you're always in the game, they've proven to me that they will do the right thing situationally and complementary to find a way to win more often than not. That's what they did on Sunday. The week before, they weren't able to do that against Cincinnati. Same kind of deal, one-score game. They didn't do the thing situationally that they needed to do to win the game, but there was really no difference.
Yeah, and I think football is the sport where coaches have the most effect on winning and losing.
And you have a quarterback who is just like a coach. That's why I think that you're able to do those kinds of things on a consistent basis.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Alex is in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, the loss of Mayo is really unfortunate. You know, he called all the plays on defense. He was kind of like the heart of that defense. But I'm expecting Dane Fletcher to play a big role now in this defense. You know, I'm not ready to put my faith into Jamie Collins. He's kind of suspect to me. He's still a rookie.
But so far, Jamie Collins, I mean, neither has had a lot of rest, but
Collins
Fletcher's
has
had none.
Fletcher hasn't had any.
Yeah, Collins
that's
is the guy.
True, that's true.
You know, so why would they?
I don't know if that has to do with the injury from last year, but he's still playing on special teams, you know.
I know, but I don't think they would leapfrog Fletcher over Collins at this point. I think Collins is the next man up.
I think you're going to see Fletcher probably on some sub packages now. If they have to take spikes out, they might want.
He'll get the reps that Collins had before.
Right. They might have Fletcher be a part of that, but I don't think he's going to be a full-time player, and I don't think he should be.
Yeah, I think he might make an impact somewhere. I don't know. That's just my guess. But, yeah, I think we have so many injuries at this point that it's just we have nothing to lose, and I still feel like we can win a lot of these games this season, maybe go 12-4. So I still think this defense can hold up, even with all the injuries, and I'm looking forward to seeing them win some games.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
I hear you, Alex.
Let's go to John in New Jersey. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, the one thing I wanted to call about, I feel like this win is kind of masking the fact they are so weak at receiver right now. And, you know, I think the fourth down and you're seeing Austin Colley on the field just proves that they need to get somebody who can catch the ball. And being down here, they're talking that Nix is available, and I can't imagine them not talking to the Giants right now to figure out what that's worth. Cause you know he can catch the ball, and God knows, after the first round, we're not going to draft anybody who's on the roster in 3 years anyway.
So they're saying, who's saying that Nix is available?
Well, the New York beat writers are saying that people are calling the Giants like crazy about Nix.
The call, yeah.
Yeah, but are they hanging up the phone after that?
They didn't say that. They were actually talking about it on the radio this morning about what they thought it would take for the Patriots, specifically Boomer Esiason was talking about it, to get Nick. And they were talking about Brandon Bolden. I'm like, okay, where do I go?
We'll give you a third-string running back for a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah, they were trying to say we can sell it to the fans that we're upgrading our backfield. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't.
I know the Giants need a running back and everything, but their season's over.
Right.
They don't need to plug a hole with a. They need help.
They want draft picks, I would think.
But listen, I have been on the Hakeem Nicks bandwagon for a long time. I know Eric poo-pooed us because he's not of a high enough ilk. Nicks is a terrific receiver, and I would take him and plug him in the number one spot on the Patriots right away on the outside, and just force feed it to him. Make sure that he figures out things. I would absolutely do that. No question, John. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm just really afraid because Edelman was limping around. I think the only reason he stayed in the game is I don't think they let him leave the game. Amendola, I think if you get him back this season, I'd be surprised. The Gronk thing just scares me to death, especially if you listen to Rook yesterday basically saying,
wow,
take the whole season off.
Yeah.
You know, they're really light with guys who can catch the ball. It's like, can Andy catch?
Yeah. You're right. You know, and even if you bring somebody in, he's going to be limited into what you can do with him. Even if he's a Knicks, you know, he's not going to know the playbook, so you're going to have to.
But if he can catch the ball, I think as limited as he is, he's better than what you're dealing with. Because Falcons made a great catch on the last play, but I was pulling my hair out watching these guys drop balls hitting in the chest.
Yeah. Well, Bolden, you know, you need Vereen back. It's a trickle-down thing. The further down you get on this depth chart, the more drop balls you're going to have. So.
Yeah, so, all right, boys, thanks for the time.
Okay, John.
Thanks, John.
New Jersey. Patrick is writing in from Agawam, Mass. He says, seriously, what the hell is going on with all these injuries? For the life of me, I can't remember any Patriots season with as many devastating injuries as this one. Can any of you? Well, I remember 1991 when three guys went on injured reserve in the last preseason game, and they ended up going 1-15.
What did you say? Say that again.
Devastating injuries for a season.
Tippett
went out.
Oh, yeah.
LePette.
They had an 89, I think they lost.
Was it 89?
Yeah, and they ended up going like 6-10. They lost three starters in the third preseason game. But that's a different time, too.
I know.
The one thing about Belichick that – and Mike Reese and I talked about this a little bit on All Access, and we sort of were on different sides. This is the kind of thing that Bill sort of builds his roster for. And this is why you don't see him, offering the best free agent available, $60 million, because he doesn't want to have individuals that are so, so important that he can't play without them. You know, he's looking to trade down in the draft to stockpile picks and try to add depth. Now, where I would say that I differ, I think that style is absolutely what Belichick believes in, and that's why they've been able to do so well in the past. Where I would differ right now is I don't think the depth is there that has been there in the past. I think that they have less depth at most spots, running back being one spot that they do have a lot of depth at. But a lot of these other positions, I think, are going to be significantly downgraded. As we move forward, we're going to see if it's going to be enough. The players that they do have will be enough. And my guess is that they'll find a way to win games against the weaker teams that they play, and they're going to struggle against the talented ones.
Pat also says, I consider this season truly miraculous if they made the playoffs and win at least one game. I'm not trying to sound like a defeatist, but look at what we've lost. Our two defensive captains, Amendola's proven this season and every other season that he can't stay in the field. The same goes with Seabass, Gronk's issues, Vereen out till at least the Carolina game. Hopefully Tlaib's injury isn't too serious. It's just absurd. If they make the playoffs, then you may have to put this season up there with 2007, 10, and 06 as one of Brady's best. I don't think you'll see what the Packers did in 2010 by winning the Super Bowl with half the team on IR, but they do have the coach and quarterback to at least win the division and make the playoffs. Anything beyond that, for me anyway, is a bonus. I really don't know what else to say. I'm just baffled that they're 5-1 so far. Let's hope they keep up the good work. You guys keep up the great work, and that's all I've got. It's Pat Nagawam.
How'd you make out, Andy?
Good. I actually didn't know if you wanted to go to locker room for any reason. Locker room's not open yet, actually.
Oh, okay.
I did it pre-locker room in the hallway.
Oh, okay.
How was it?
Stinky hall. It was pretty good.
Yeah, the hall smells like
what
somebody threw up or something.
Yeah, it's been like that for weeks,
too. It smells like poop mixed with vomit.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not getting better.
Yeah.
I just thought it was you, Andy. I thought you had a rough night.
I do.
No, it does. You're right. Sometimes the hallway stinks something.
Yeah, it's gross. And it's been that way for a couple weeks. It went away when they repainted because I think that covered up the odor. You had the paint odor, but it's back.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. He talked about, you know, I asked him a little bit about the short memory kind of thing after giving up the touchdown. And he said going back on film, you know, he felt like he had good coverage. It was a great throw and a great catch. And he was just there and he probably should have made the play. And, you know, it's one of those things you just move on. And he also talked a little bit about how close the defensive back group is. They get together every Tuesday on their off days and they just hang out, play video games, do stuff. And I asked if that helps on the field, and he said, "Oh yeah, you know, bond and everything."
Look, if there's one thing, forget it. You know, talent is aside. If there's one thing they've been lacking since 06 back there, it's continuity.
Right.
You know, and now it seems like they've got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So
well, all that's much easier with Aqib Talib playing like he was playing.
Yeah, sure.
That's the one.
Did he mention Aqib and what he's brought and how
A little bit. Yeah, we talked about it in general. I didn't want to get too specific because our show airs on Thursday night, and I didn't know exactly what his status would be, and so kind of
they put him on IR tomorrow.
Well, yeah. So I talked. We talked about Mayo and Wilfork and kind of the all guys kind of having to lift their games.
It's nice when they make those decisions for you early in the week,
right? But yeah, he was good. Brady looks a little like been a tough week.
Really?
He looks tired, first of all.
He
also looks like he has a little
shiner.
He
had a mouse under his eye on Sunday.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He had a tough week.
He had that post game. He got hit. He must have gotten hit in the face post game during the game.
Oh, football wise. We don't think he fought somebody in the
locker room. No. This was something that happened in the game.
But he also looks tired to me, just visually. He's very nice, though. Comes out the door. He goes, "Hey, guys, how are you?"
Okay.
That smile.
You think he's mastered that so he could, like, be saying, F you, you effing F F,
but he still
with
has that
little
on
smiling
face.
Smirk on. Like, I feel like that's what he is.
Someone ought to ask him one day about, like, how does he choose the clothes he wears after a game?
I think Tom has.
Yeah, he has.
Tom Curran has.
He's dabbled.
Sort of,
oh, has he?
Yeah, he's broached that.
Yeah. Let's go with Chris with a TIAN on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing?
Well, it could be better. That's a tough loss in Mayo. You know, losing him and Wilfork, you're really losing that middle of the defense. And I call to ask, what do you guys think is the strength of this defense? Is it their smarts? Is it their athleticism? What's the strength of this defense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think it's being in the – it's smarts. It's not making mistakes. Because I don't think they have the best talent, but I don't think – they're often that much out of position. I think it's the smarts. I think that's what it is.
I don't want to play the role of Paul Perillo, but I think it's both. And I think there's different guys that have different strengths. Like, I think Mayo is smart. I think that's a big part of his value. I think McCourty is smart. I think that's a big part of his value. I think Dennard and Talib are more athletes. I think they get by on, I'm going to cover this guy. I'm going to be physical with this guy. I think Chandler Jones right now is probably getting by a little bit more on athleticism and his physical ability than pure headiness, whereas I think Ninkovic gets by on headiness. So,
yeah, but
kind of a combo.
But as young as Chandler Jones is, you don't see him making any dumb plays, which
no.
Even good athletes will do sometimes.
But the other day, I think he got sucked down. His athleticism allowed him to get back out and tackle Drew Brees.
And he also said after the game that Ninkovic told him, make sure that you sit there and wait for that naked boot.
And
he got sucked in.
I think he made that play on athleticism after kind of screwing up a smidge mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And, I had a question, and I'll let you guys go. How do you think the safety play has been so far this season? We talked a lot about it in the preseason coming in about, you know, and I from what I'll tell you right now, I thought McCourty was just, you know, and, you know, I thought he's played great, and I certainly think Gregory has played better than you know, a lot of people were on him, too. You know, a lot of people were talking Tyvon Wilson at the beginning of the preseason about him being in there, and Gregory, and I think McCourty has played well, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Do you guys think that the Patriots have been tested deep a lot this year?
Nah, a little. I actually think the safety coverage has been a little sketchy. I think their tackling has been outstanding, both of them. McCourty and Gregory have been outstanding tackling. in space, and that's not an easy thing to do. But I think that they have been susceptible a little bit, you know, in coverage, especially when there's supposed to be that deep help. The Julio Jones play that gets lost because they came up with a fourth down stop when Tlaib stopped him in the end zone, Matt, they gave him 45 yards on one play. You can't do that. The game-winning touchdown, well, the go-ahead touchdown, I should say, because the Patriots won the game. The other day, you know, Gregory is late getting over there, and I thought Dennard had good coverage, but if he has help there, you probably get an incompletion. So I do think the safety coverage has been a little spotty, but their tackling has been excellent for the most part.
Okay. All right.
It's just all my, right, just thanks, my Christian. Let's go to John in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. That was a very exciting win, but I agree with you guys. It's definitely mitigated by these injuries. It's a bummer. I really would love to win the Super Bowl in the Jets, well, in the Giants Stadium where the Jets get to play.
In New Jersey.
Right.
In New Jersey, exactly.
Yeah, these type of injuries make you have to...
The reason I'm calling, and I know that this is sort of like late into the season to be complaining about the welfare thing, but here's the thing, my perspective on the welfare thing. From the report, we got calls from Welker's agent after, and we were like, oh, well, we've already signed Amendola. But the contract they were talking about was for 2 years still. And I think it's a misjudgment of Brady, of how pissed off, of knowing exactly he's going to go to the Broncos. We know that. That was the point of that phone call. They know that he's probably going to do quite well with the Broncos. It's not just saying, oh, well, we can't sign everybody. It's going to probably our biggest competitor. And Brady, late in his career, seeing his best friend go and play with Peyton Manning, I just think, especially after the Bengals loss, I was thinking about this, how pissed off he must be.
But
inside, he's got this thing with history and Peyton. I just think that, I don't know, I think it's just not thinking through the sort of more emotional aspect of personnel.
On paper, where would you have put Aaron Hernandez, Wes Welker, and Danny Amendola?
I would have figured out that it was a 2-year contract for not that much money, and that's a good problem to have, and that crap like what's happening now with our defense happens every year, all the time, to every team. And so, you know, we signed, I mean, I know the Hernandez thing is separate, but we signed Julian Edelman after that, who's a similar-ish player.
Yeah, but he's to return punts. Edelman is your punt returner first and everything else, you know, he can fill in that role. You can have him just be the backup guy. I don't know if Wes Welker wants to just be a backup and how that would play out if Hernandez and Amendola are healthy.
You don't think you could have played Amendola and Welker together?
Creative way to have fun with Welker.
I think you could have. I don't think it's ideal to have Amendola, Welker, and Hernandez. I think they're all very similar players.
And eventually Gronkowski in the middle.
Right, but he's different. He fills a totally different role.
Crazy.
I just think those three guys is a redundancy, and you're weak in a lot of other places.
I mean, that is true because I think most people that
two guys get hurt all the time.
Well, then they should have signed linebackers. Well, then, they should have signed nose tackles.
Yeah, now you're saying you shouldn't have signed Amendola at all. I mean, because if you just say that he's going to get hurt, they didn't sign him thinking he was going to get hurt.
They liked him.
They liked the player.
He's younger, and they think he can be better.
And John, they rolled the dice.
My point is,
I'm just saying they rolled the dice and they said, you know, we like this player's skill set and we think he can stay healthy and we're going to take a shot. And obviously so far it hasn't worked.
Right, and I understand the conventional wisdom at the time, and I was willing to go along with it, I guess, at the time, but it was sort of like 2 years and a guy does get hurt a lot, and how bad is it to have two guys, one of whom we kept hearing, well, Amendola has a little bit more diversity in terms of being he could do the outside guy thing a little bit more than Welker can. So I just don't think. I think it's a matter of getting a little too cute the way we do something. A little too.
Well, that I would tend to agree with you a little bit. I think they try to fix something that wasn't broken, and I think that you know, going out and making the move in the first place. Now look, they insist that they wanted Welker back, and that it didn't work out. I think that both sides wanted to move on personally. But, I mean, I understand your point about getting a little bit too cute. Now, one thing that Andy just said that I think is something that we all forget, I think everybody looks at their offense right now and they say, well, geez, you could have definitely coexisted with Amendola on one side, Kembrell Tompkins on the other, and Welker in the slot. That easily could have worked. But when people think that, and I just forgot it too, Aaron Hernandez was still here when all this stuff went down.
Right.
It was 2 months before that whole mess, you know, even festered. So Andy's right. I mean, if you had Hernandez and Welker and Amendola with Gronk coming back at some point, now maybe you have just too much of the same thing.
And you could make it work. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah,
and I think it
players.
Would actually be really good in the regular season, but we're getting back to everything is centrally located. It's underneath stuff. They want it to try to diversify the offense.
Right.
And signing those two guys doesn't reach that goal.
Right.
Again, I think it could have been successful. I'm not saying it would be like, you know, the whole offense would blow up because you had three guys that are, you know, similar players. But long-term and ideal.
Against the better defenses.
Yeah, I'm not sure it would be what you're looking for.
Yeah,
which is what we've been.
Part of my point, it wasn't long-term. It's 2 years. And Hernandez gets hurt all the time, too. He hurts people more than he gets hurt, we found out. But still.
No, I mean, the injuries, though, is just. I don't know that you can make every decision just based on injuries. Like,
well, that's what I'm
saying.
Well,
he could get hurt, and he could get hurt, so I should sign him. And, you know, Logan Mankins has been hurt a few times. Maybe I should go get a good guard, and so-and-so's been hurt. And
injuries are a part of the game that they look at as inevitable, but I don't think they necessarily look at it and say, well, this guy's going to get hurt more so than that guy's going to get hurt because of his history. I don't necessarily think they look at it. Now, John, you could be right. They should probably looked at that a little bit different. And I know for a fact, in talking to some people at the time they made the move, it was a concern. Amendola was a concern, you know, in terms of his ability to stay healthy. So certainly it's not just 20/20 hindsight. A lot of people wondered at the time, why swap out Welker for Amendola?
And financially, you certainly could do it.
Yeah, well, financially, it's, I mean, you've spent more money on the guy you replaced.
But, no, I mean have all of them. You could have signed both.
Oh, yeah, they could have. Yeah, but also remember the chronology of the whole thing. When Welker left the table and when the Patriots left the table, I'll make it equal, Welker was not asking for what Denver ultimately gave him.
Right.
He was asking for a hell of a lot more. Welker was a surprise in his agent at what the market was bearing, as the Patriots were and what our fan base was. So if you know, Welker wanted a hell of a lot more from the Patriots than what he ultimately got from Denver. And had he been asking for that,
what did he want?
It was a long way from that. It was more towards what the Patriots originally offered and more than that. You know. So
I don't know what he wanted, but all I can say is that he left the Patriots and 5 minutes later took this deal that was.
It was a wide divide. It was a wide divide. And had Welker been asking for more of what he got at Denver, he would be a Patriot. He would be a Patriot.
To drag us back to more current things, because I'm sorry for all of Patriots Nation for bringing it back to Welker. can I please never, ever, ever again feel a Garrett Blunt return a kick? Don't run out of the end zone.
The worst was on Sunday. He hesitated. He hesitated
right.
And then ran out. He's this big, slow fullback, and he hesitated.
Right. Right.
It's ridiculous. Just take it at 20.
Yeah.
Or I have an idea. Put somebody else back there, like Josh Boyce, or even Brandon Bolden. Make him the returner.
Let me ask you, is a guy like Logan Ryan?
Sure.
Does he have any ball skills?
I'm sure. Those Rutgers guys are four-down players.
Oh, for God's sakes, you can never.
Hey, does Logan Ryan do a pretty okay job in the I saw him covering. I was like, oh my god, Logan Ryan is out against Jimmy Graham. I mean, it might have just been the one play, but I was like,
yeah, Jimmy Graham was also a cripple the other day.
Yeah, I didn't notice Logan Ryan much in the game.
I never expected Logan Ryan to be able to cover a crippled Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to do it often.
I didn't really notice Logan Ryan the other. I mean, I know he played at the end when they had some injuries, but I didn't really notice him one way. He didn't stand out bad either.
Yeah.
All right, John.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Paul, do you have a Burberry iPhone case? Is that a Burberry iPhone case? Wow. You're fancy.
Yeah. It's kind of like my fancy pants
fancy
from yesterday.
Pants. Yeah.
I wouldn't call
it
fancy.
I had polo pants on yesterday. Fred described those as fancy pants.
Well, no. Only
I'd call that what Wes Welker called it once.
The polo pants had a polo logo on the butt. So
don't
I've
all
never
pants
seen
have
that
a logo
before.
On the butt?
No. I've never seen that
yeah,
before.
Yeah, well, Andy's did.
Mine did. And apparently.
They were Chaps.
Chaps.
Which is a brand
polo.
Of polo.
Fancy pants. So I call Paul Fancy Pants Perillo.
But Dockers has it. I thought every pair
Dockers
of pants
would have the little tag that says Dockers on the back of it.
Yeah,
you know
reason,
you know
Fred
the only
decided.
Thing that doesn't? People that wear suit pants.
You
usually with a polo.
You see the words,
which
but
doesn't
Paul
really
had just the polo logo on his butt.
No, that's the logo. Dockers has the Docker thing, I think.
So you're being a jackass. I've just never seen that before, so I called him Paul.
Well, because you're usually staring at the front of men and not the rear.
Oh, okay.
He likes penises.
Jeff is calling in. Hey, Jeff.
Jeffy.
Jeff. Turn down your internet. Okay, Jeff.
We'll get back to you. Put him on hold. Why do I have to put him on hold? Because maybe he wants to come back and talk later.
I got to free up the lines
for
other
people. Quick aside.
You got one open line.
Because you lived it. I didn't. Did you watch No Mas last night?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not.
I guess we can't have a discussion. I thought it was pretty good until the end.
What was there any like revelation of why he quit?
Zero.
Really?
He tells another story. Apparently there's been like five or six stories over the years and people... And they actually get there, and not to spoil it for people, but Sugar Ray is listening to him, and they have subtitles, and they kind of just trail it off. And then you hear Sugar Ray say, you know, I realized at that point that this is, you know, he's never going to know, and maybe he doesn't even, like, Sugar Ray gets, like, conclusion. Like, he feels fine.
Right.
But as a viewer, I was like, I just watched almost an hour and a half, and you dropped this bomb at me at the end?
I think that, you know, he was on drugs. I don't think he was right.
Well, he has a number of times talked about diuretics and different things because he ballooned up to 200 pounds between the fights.
Yeah.
And he dropped like 10 pounds in the last day. And then he tried to gain it back up. And he claims he had cramps and he was having weakness in his arms.
He just did not want to engage. And
I think he just frustrated him with all the play.
He was running around.
Doing the, you know, the whoop boom and the stuff. And, but the actual footage of the two fights, the first one's phenomenal. They just beat the bleeping snot out of each other for 15 rounds. And then the second one is like, almost like a movie where he's doing the crazy, like rope-a-dope and different, you know, acting like a whack job. And I think Stallone got a lot of his, Rocky stuff from those fights.
Oh, yeah.
Because Duran was Clubber Lang. He was like yelling things at Sugar Ray's wife in the crowd about, like, you know, her husband wasn't a man and flipping her the bird. And that's like Clubber Lang in the Rocky movie three.
Right.
So
show you what a real man's like.
I think Roberto Duran was
the
guy. I mean, I think he was sort of the basis for the bad guy boxer who's, you know, over macho until he, you know, quit. And Tyson steals it. Mike Tyson is like an expert who, you know, every couple scenes comes in. Right. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
could not be any better. Gets excited, wants to be a boxer because of this fight, and blah blah blah. Like everything, very very good.
Yeah,
the whole thing's good until the end when you get no conclusion.
Right.
Andy, Fred, and I talked about the Jim Irsay comments about Peyton.
Yeah.
What you think of those?
He just talks too much.
He's such an idiot.
He just talks too much.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just stupid.
We're like, how could you blame anything on Peyton Manning? Yeah,
and like one Super Bowl ring less, because he's like, you know, the Ravens have two, and the Steelers have two.
That's what
we
Fred
only
and I
had
said.
One. So you know, what are you talking about?
Do you know what you sound like when you say that? You know, they have three, and they have two, and we only have one.
Right.
You know, to the other 25 teams in the league that don't, you know, never even have a sniff.
It's just, he's not a very likable figure.
No.
Even though. He seems like he should be. Like, some of the stuff, like, he's always doing trivia and giving away $100 to fans and tickets. Like,
but
some
like,
of that.
Even, like, all his whole thing, like the Trent Richardson trade to me.
Stay in that realm. Don't get into football.
Exactly. If you want to be Mark Cuban.
Right.
Be Mark Cuban.
Right.
Yeah, the fan owner.
Right.
Right.
And be the man of the people owner.
Right.
You know, so you can do the Twitter games and contests and stuff. But when you do something real.
Yeah.
Don't jump all into this, like, oh, I'm going to tease all our fans for an hour here. Oh, we got something big coming down, you know, and this kind of nonsense. That was really
This is just classless. I mean, especially the week you're going to do a weird thing and honor an opponent before a game.
Right.
Which is weird and a little awkward as it is.
And I was giving him credit for doing something classy, right. And then he does this. He ripped, like as Fred pointed out, he rips Polian, too.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, he's shredding
Which
Polian.
Which I'm okay with.
But Fred had no problem with that.
But it's like, for you know, you were okay that you know, we had one more regular season game. You know, you were bragging about the team you built, and you build a great team. Not quite as great as the Patriots or in that era or whatever, but... To like tarnish it now by acting like this.
But can
just...
you imagine having that kind of success for that long and being all pissy about it?
No. But I just think these owners and especially the son of owners, like didn't his like it's like a weird story. Like no one respects him as the owner, right?
Like didn't... yeah, I don't know.
Well, that happens. Like that happens a lot.
But yeah. I just
yeah.
Yeah.
Alex in Philly says, these injuries are killing us. I don't know how many more we can take. Gronk is giving us the Derrick Rose treatment. Wilfork is done. Kelly is hurt. The O-linemen are concussed. Our best corner is hurt. We've lost Mayo for the season. Edelman, who was between injuries, has found his injury. And you may not know but this, but Einstein defined the word injury as Danny Amendola taking a step. I hope Eric is happy with the curse he put on this team. I'm not saying that the sky is falling, but we are in trouble a lot more than Fred is willing to admit, and I am not feeling as confident as Fred about this blowout victory that he's probably predicting over the Jets.
He's Alex probably and predicting over the Jets. He makes it sound bad when he lists all the injuries.
Jeff is back on the line.
I really want to thank Adam Schefter for coming up with that Derrick Rose line.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hey, a couple of quick things. One, I've really been impressed with the work of the punter on the team, actually.
Ryan Allen?
Yeah, it's something that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, or it doesn't seem like it. And he's been burying people close to their end zone.
Jeff, do you subscribe to Patriots Football Weekly?
Not yet.
You should, because we have been giving him a nice rub every single week, basically, in the Read and React pages, where we try to analyze the game a little deeper and in the numbers and the schemes. And we've been going at it pretty good with Ryan Allen and his production and success, because it's been impressive. You know, a lot of us thought he didn't win the job coming out of camp, that Mesko had actually won the job and that maybe they were looking to save money. But since the regular season has started, he's been very good, and Mesko has not for the Steelers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just watching the game, I mean, just every kick booms and it takes forever to land. And I've just been blown away by him too, I think. But, the only other thing I was just going to say is, I've noticed that, Denver's been now ranked first in offense and they're ranked almost dead last in defense. And it just amused me that they've gotten Welker and now they're basically the Patriots from last year. And, absolutely excited to see the end of November, see them play the Patriots at home. I think that game's going to be awesome because New England's just evenly ranked both on offense and defense, both in the top half of the league. And it's going to be crazy.
I think the Denver defense, though, yeah, it's much like the Patriots. You know, they are ranked highly against the run. They're ranked, I think, last against the pass. But remember, you know, if you watch their games, other than the Dallas game, which, you know, was really bad, it's a lot of it is teams, you know, desperate at the end and, you know, way behind.
Well,
so I
would just ask, Jeff,
and they're getting Von Miller back.
Jeff, last year, what did you think about the Patriots heading into the AFC Championship game?
Oh, I was afraid to a large extent. And the thing is like this game with New Orleans is a good example because we got down to the end and after Brady threw that interception, I just had this hole in my gut because I just felt like so many other games. I'm like, we're going to give Drew Brees the ball back and there is no way this defense is going to stop him.
Okay, so you thought they were going to lose the AFC Championship game at home last year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Against Baltimore, I was definitely afraid of that game. And again, like whenever we've given the ball up at the end, you know, in the last couple of minutes of the game, if Brady doesn't get that ball last, I'm always like just on the edge of my seat because I've always felt like the defense was the weakest link, and a lot of people have felt that way.
Well, it's been true. I mean, lately.
Yeah, but this year is different,
right, though.
I mean,
now the offense can't score.
Part. Yeah.
I mean, so what's the difference? I mean, you have problems one way or the other. I just don't remember people thinking that they were going to lose the AFC Championship game at home.
Well, no, a lot of people didn't. I mean, I wouldn't say that I was absolutely convinced that they were going to lose or anything. It's just looking at that game, knowing how, because the defense, I just felt like, especially after Baltimore had lit up Denver, that, especially through the air, that there was a chance that Baltimore was going to be able to throw the ball on New England, and that if their defense slowed up our offense enough, that there was no way that defense was going to be able to take up slack. And this year it's a totally different ball game. I mean, there's been so many games already where I've just been amazed at the ability of the defense to shut the other team down, you know, and take away their best options. And you know, so I don't know. I'm totally optimistic about the Denver game coming up. That's the one game through this stretch that's going to be, you know, the real, I think
this New Orleans game was a watermark on the season, but the Denver game is like the second. Like if they can come out and slow that offense down and keep them under, you know, keep them in the 20-point range, I mean, we're going to be golden for that game.
Wow, yeah, it's going
to
be tough.
The one problem is,
thanks, Jeff.
What is the Patriots defense moving forward? I hate to be a broken record, but everything you've seen so far,
that's
I admit it.
It's a different
I was
team
ready
every
to
week.
Stamp them legit.
Right.
I mean, that, but I don't know what I'm stamping now without Mayo, without Will Fork. Maybe Tlaib's out there. Maybe he's not. And as Paul always likes to beat us over the head with, you're not going to get healthier as the season goes on. You're going to get worse. Some individual guys may get healthier, but these things are going to crop up every week.
I think the Patriots defense played terrific on Sunday. Okay. They allowed 27 points against the team that averages about 20 points less than the team that we're talking about down the road. So I think they played a terrific game. They still allowed 24 points on their own, 27 counting the last field goal. That obviously didn't have anything to do with their play. So you can play better on defense, and you can do better things. But if the other team has better players, they're going to score. So to think that you're going to hold Denver to 20, then the Broncos just turned the ball over six times, because that's the only way that's happening, that you're only going to allow 20 points in that game.
Do you see the crazy numbers? Manning has targeted, I don't know the specific order, but it's like Welker 50 times, Decker 49, Thomas 48, and the other Thomas like 46. Like he has kept it almost perfectly balanced. And we say that because you watch his games, there's stretches where it's like
your turn.
Welker, and then all of a sudden he'll just... Oh, Thomas now.
Right.
Oh, Decker now. And it's been almost perfectly balanced throughout the year, which I think is amazing. Now, it could just be a six-game coincidence, but it doesn't seem like it.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good show. Good show as usual.
Thanks.
I just want to start off for you guys here. You know, you're talking about that Ursay, his little rant that he tweeted. It's kind of funny. You know, I know Peyton is way too classy to come out and say something like this, but I remember when his field goal kicker was running his mouth, and he came out and he was like, "Oh, my drunk field goal kicker is running his mouth again." You know, he was throwing something against the Patriots or something.
Right.
You know, and it'd be kind of funny if Manning, you know, came out and said, "Hey, well, my drunk ex-owner is, you know, hitting the NyQuil bottle again or something."
And he looks like a drinker.
You might see that after the game, after the Broncos.
Yeah, I just think, you know, like you said, it's so childish, and you know, I mean. But that's just, you know, it's just a joke that he even wants to do something like that to Peyton. I mean, come on.
And the worst part is he probably didn't know what he was doing.
Too.
Like
exactly.
I don't think it was intentional. I think he's just an idiot.
I think it just comes out.
I think he was trying to
I got some questions for you guys. First of all, I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, and then get into what I think we need to do on defense to maybe. Not really. It's not going to, you know, solve all the problems. But, you know, this is what I kind of think we need to do to remedy some of this. I mean, you know, you can't replace Will Fork. You can't replace Mayo. I mean, two huge losses. Okay, I think the kids on the defensive line have done a good job. Isn't Armstead supposed to be coming off his PO, you know, 6 weeks?
NFI, not this week.
Yeah, but he's not this
week.
He's eligible this week, but he's not going
He nor Harrison are coming off this week. I don't know if it'll be next week. They will be eligible again.
And then they have like a three-week period to look at them to make a decision?
Yeah, they have 3 weeks from now to begin them practicing. Then they have three weeks to watch them. It's actually kind of like a six-week window, but they're not starting it today.
Right, all right.
Yeah, so he ain't walking through that door anytime soon.
No, he's not coming. Yeah, he's not coming through that door anytime soon. But I think
we don't even know who he is.
The defensive line is holding their own at this point. Now, with Mayo, my suggestion is maybe to take Hightower and put him next to Spice and see what this kid Collins is all about. And if it's not Collins, you have Fletcher. You know, I mean, you know, not, I mean, I'm not saying either of those guys are Gerard Mayo. You know, your team captain and a tackling machine. But, you know, that might be the answer just to get through the rest of the season. Because, you know, there's going to be a big hole there, especially in the middle now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see Collins and probably some Fletcher fill in that hole.
Yeah,
I think Collins on base, and probably you're going to see Fletcher get a little bit more time than on sub. But, I mean Spike stays in
I
the
really
middle.
I don't think there's any, like, so-called street free agent middle linebackers that really interest me out there now.
Well, Spikes is the middle linebacker.
And he's going to stay there.
Right.
Mayo is the weak side linebacker.
Weak side linebacker,
And I'm not sure that you're going to go outside at this point and get someone of any value. You might get a veteran Tracy White type who could come in and play special teams and maybe fill in for you. Who knows the system?
Need it.
They don't need it.
On my list of, as we're nearing the trade deadline here, if you said put together your wish list of what you need, replacing Gerard Mayo wouldn't be all that high on the list because they do have a couple guys that I think can kind of piece it together. I mean, receiver is an issue right now, depending on, as you say, the watch list for Amendola, the watch list for Edelman. You know, who knows with cornerback? If you lose a Talib, your cornerback depth goes through the pooper very, very quickly.
And yeah, that changes. That's a major issue, too, right there. So I know they brought in a couple wide receivers and a couple of D tackles to try out.
Yes.
I think Shipley was one of them, I heard.
Jordan Shipley, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so, you know, the way I look at it, I was talking about the Denver game. I actually think the Denver game, if you look at the schedule, Baltimore is definitely sketchy. Houston Texans are, I mean, who knows what's going on with them. You know, I think if you really look at it, I think we got through this three-part stretch where we had, you know, the Falcons, who knew they were going to be as bad as they were, but they were in the NFC Championship game last year. So you would have thought it would have been a major competition, you know, a major challenge there. Yeah. Cincinnati and
what about the Bills
and the Saints? I think, you know, the rest of our schedule, you know, and I'm only looking ahead to the Jets because I mean that's just the way you know.
But you got the Dolphins,
has
right?
The fans train. Yep. I think, you know, it's a relatively winnable game.
Steelers are coming up.
You know, the Steelers too.
Don't overlook the bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But I don't really see any huge threats. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Dave. Dave in Connecticut.
Felger
has
it right.
Down the whole schedule here.
Felger has it right.
What?
You know.
Let's go to Al. Al's on the line. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I usually get the call in like maybe once a year. I'm a mailman, so when I call in sick, I can.
You mailing in?
That's funny. Eric's a female man. Ho!
Yeah. You receiving your mail on time?
I am.
Well,
still waiting,
I just
still
make
waiting
sure
for
that
a check.
Whoever's delivering my route is making sure that they delivered your mail. You know, it was a great win Sunday. But you know why I called? You know, something about Gronk.
Nope.
And I'm defending him. You know, last year when he came back from his arm injury, his first game back was against Miami.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, he was cleared by doctors. But yet that game, he pretty much played with one arm. He was like almost favoring his arm.
Right.
Which a lot of people thought it was some type of mental thing with him.
Yes.
And then he ended up breaking it the game against Houston.
Yes.
You know, is it possible that this is just a mental thing with him?
Yes.
That because he broke it? I mean, they cleared him. So it was confusing to me how he was able to be cleared by doctors, but yet he favored the arm. So was the arm bothering him? That's what's confusing.
Well, the whole thing is, you're right, the thing's confusing. And you can say, well, is it a mental thing? But, like, let's go back to that year. He obviously thought there was something wrong. Whether or not that was mental or not, the next game he breaks it. So maybe his mental thing, he was onto something.
Or maybe he wasn't, but because it broke, he now thinks he was onto something that he really wasn't onto. Because there's guys that, you know, are cleared with arm injuries, knee injuries, blow out their ACL again and blow out their arm again, whatever. But he thought he was favoring it because something was in his head, and then he broke it. So that only validates what was in his head, whether it's worthy of validation or not.
Right. I got to trust my gut.
Right.
Right.
So I would say if that's possibly true, then he's got to feel 10 times worse about coming into play because you know the first thing defenders are going to do is start banging on his arm. So I could understand. And you know what? Eventually he's going to play. I don't think 1 or 2 weeks are going to make a difference, but I think it's more of a mental thing, and I think fans should understand that. The one great thing is that we are 5-1, and, you know, when he comes back, you know, as long as he's healthy and as long as he feels comfortable, you know, when he comes back, you know, we have to believe he does want to come back and play.
Yes.
And
according to his mother, this is killing him.
Right, but I think it's a mental thing, and that's all I wanted to say.
But all right, thanks, Al.
I agree with you that I thought it was a mental thing. The one problem with that theory is the report from last week was that Dr. James Andrews didn't clear him. Dr. James Andrews is not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, right? He's an orthopedic. So if he didn't clear him, that means it's not mental, right?
Unless he just is the last thing that he hurdle that he goes through is, how you feeling, Rob? And Rob says, I don't know. And that's enough for Andrews to say, then don't go out there. You know?
I just find it hard to believe that Andrews...
Well, if he doesn't know how he feels, I don't think that's mental. I kind of agree with Andy. Yeah.
Like, I thought, you know, remember Breer had the tweet last week before, you know, the Patriots are going to allow Gronkowski to jump through whatever hurdles or circles or hoops that he needs to feel comfortable to get back on the field. That was, in my mind, saying, it's mental. We'll let him bring James Andrews in because James Andrews is going to say, Rob, you're fine. Get your ass back out there. It's in your head.
Right.
The only problem is that didn't finish that way.
Didn't happen.
Now, maybe it'll finish that way this week. And you know, there was some week in there. I don't know what the difference would be 1 week to the next. But the one fly in the ointment of it's mental is Dr. James Andrews is an orthopedic who examined him and apparently didn't clear him, right? If we believe all the reports.
Right.
So
we
just don't know.
We just don't know. But we also don't know about food. What's going on? Oh, did he go up to get it?
I hope so.
Okay. I don't know.
Paul's getting cranky.
Getting?
Colin in Belgium says, admit it, Fred. When Brady finally ran on Sunday, twice no less, once for a first down, you had a little orgasm, didn't you? I watched that and I said to myself, I bet Kirsch has a chubby right now on his hip.
You did have a good day Sunday with your Brady runs and your Ridley runs. 96 yards. You had a good day in your important factors in the game.
Well, you know, you got to have a feeling for it. Let's see. Stefan in London. If Talib is to play, which Jets wide receiver will he match up with? And if Gronk is to play, do you see him playing in a reduced role?
I don't know that they'll match up this week. Stephen Hill is their leading receiver.
Right.
300 yards. Just barely their leading receiver. It was Winslow. He's now suspended for PEDs.
Maybe you put him on Cumberland.
I don't know.
Love Cumberland, huh?
He really does.
Well, he's a productive player for them.
In one game.
He's, you know, look, they always say a tight end is a quarterback's best friend, and he's certainly Geno.
He has like five catches.
No, but lately,
Geno didn't meet Hernandez.
Geno has been turning to him, and I think he's becoming more and more important every week to,
I don't think they'll match
to the
up.
Young quarterback.
And they're certainly not going to match up Talib with Cumberland.
Watch him catch. He's on a roll. I mean, he's killing us in the pick. He is so dominant in the picks contest. Jeff Cumberland, watch out. Fantasy owners, pick him up.
The bottom is about to fall out. He's getting cocky.
Two touchdowns for Jeff Cumberland on Sunday.
P.S. I came home to my girlfriend's house to see a Jets jersey. Turns out her dad started watching in the 80s over here and got her involved as a kid. Even 3,000 miles away, I can't get away from them. F the Jets.
So just make her take the jersey off, if you know what I'm saying. Oh.
Wow.
You know where that jersey would look good? On the floor.
Dave writes in from Ottawa. I was at the Jets game versus the Jaguars in 2009 and hurt my ear from the crowd noise in the lower bowl. And it was ringing up to 3 months after the game and now rings whenever there's a high-pitched noise. It is now known as my football ear. So let's not be so harsh on the noise levels at Gillette. Okay. All right.
Wait, what game was he at?
2009 Jaguars.
What was that? Where was that?
That was playoff game, wasn't it?
2009 Jaguars?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on, Paul. You remember every game.
And I certainly don't remember playing the Jaguars in 2009. We were one and done, and we lost the Ravens, 33-14.
Oh.
Don't question my knowledge.
Well, look up in the media,
guys. I thought he said Jets-Jaguars for some reason.
See, that, no. That's why I said, what game were we talking about?
It was definitely us. Joel and Merrimack, good show as always.
We're talking about a regular season game against the Jaguars?
Maybe.
When then we beat them like 35-0?
Maybe.
But 35-7, I believe it was. That was the game that Belichick yelled at them on the sideline for dancing around like a bunch of punks. Remember that? Remember? That was awesome.
Great win, but at what price? Major pieces of our defense are gone or hurt, and even though that has me worried, what bothers me even more is Brady getting sacked 5 times. I cringe every time he gets hit. Question, it seems to me that Edelman doesn't really catch with his hands as much as he cradles it with his body. Have you guys noticed this? And if so, is this a result of him being a quarterback converted to a wide receiver?
I haven't noticed it.
It's possible. He also may not have very big hands.
I have. I think when he, when in doubt, he's a body catcher. And
at least
some
he
of the,
catches it. Maybe Tompkins should use his body.
Well, some of the passes off his hands, if you've noticed, have so even ones that he's caught, he's not caught cleanly. When he's up away from his body, I'm thinking of the fade in the end zone that he dropped. And I'm thinking of a play over the middle earlier in that game that he sort of deflected to himself and caught it as he was coming down. I think that's the observation is a valid one on terms of in terms of him being a body catcher. I don't know if it has anything to do with him being a quarterback.
My observation is none of the guys have very good hands, except maybe Amendola.
Amendola has very good hands.
The other guys?
I think Amendola has better hands than your boy, Welker.
Gronk?
Welker. No, Gronk has steel trap for hands.
See, the difference is Welker is going to have like 170 chances a year to show his hands for either good or bad. Amendola gets like 8, takes 2 weeks off, gets another 8.
And he can be another one of those haters.
I don't hate him. I actually really like him, and I feel
he's
bad
for him. He's in the
locker
room today, by the way.
And I hope he doesn't play this week, because if he plays this week, I'm going to be very uncomfortable.
I say he plays
you and
this.
Eric.
I say he plays this week.
You're not going to be after what you saw.
If he plays this week, I assume he's been cleared. You know?
How can I argue
with you? Well, you don't have to, A, assume that.
What team in this day and age would rush a guy back with a concussion? You know? You don't do that nowadays. Unless the doctors say he's fine.
I just think it's hard to say fine, too. I think it's a lot easier to say a forearm is fine than it is to say a brain is fine.
I know. So what do you never play again if you have a concussion?
If I saw a guy like that, he wouldn't play the following week.
I personally think there should be a minimum time that a guy has to sit out if he's been diagnosed with a concussion. That's my personal feeling.
But I also I don't think all concussions are the same. I don't know anything about them.
Right.
And that was the worst one I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody get up to that jelly legs.
But you don't know it was the worst concussion you've ever
seen.
It was the worst reaction after a hit that you've ever seen.
You know, you don't know if that means...
Whatever you want to term it, if I owned the team or had a vested interest in the team, I would be very concerned if Danny Amendola took the field this week.
I would make sure that I have a good medical staff and I would go with their opinion.
Yeah, I just don't know that head injuries are to the point where it's clear.
So what do?
You sit
err on the side of caution. Be scared.
No. That I mean, be Andy, very, Andy's very point scared. Is you should wait a week or two. Should be a minimum that the guy
has to be without contact. I think you go with what you know are the standards.
Are we the only league that doesn't? I know that hockey and NBA have much stricter, like, specific concussion rules.
Yeah.
Like time frames and different things, that it's not really just, well, the doctor cleared him for that team. There's more league mandated issues there, and it seems
he'd
like
had to go. He would have in hockey had to go to the quiet room.
Yes,
no question about that.
You know, it was a weird hit. Maybe like he got hit in the neck, so that you know for a second oxygen got knocked out of his brain, and that's why he was unconscious and not necessarily a concussion. And then
you want to term it, what I saw was somebody I would not feel comfortable playing football 7 days later.
Wow.
You can call it a concussion.
All that said, I expect to see him on Sunday because I think he can't help himself. I think he's so determined.
Well, somebody else has to help him from
himself.
He's
so dogged determined to be out there. I think he will be out there.
All right.
I'm going to feel like I did when Teddy Bruschi came back. I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, that was weird.
But to me, I feel the same way about this.
Okay. Josh Freeman starting Monday.
It looks like such a hellacious hit
that's
that I'm going to feel uncomfortable.
You're a caring person.
I am. I'm a giver. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
It's 1:23. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected.
With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money, yeah, on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos.
Attached.
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster.
All right, back here in
PFW.
Told me to go.
False start on Fred.
Back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Just Strippers had a good question I could have and should have asked Dennard.
Yeah, what?
Had he battled Kenny Stills when the two teams were in the Big 12, Paul?
Oh.
Could have seen if they had some college days, right? Would have been a decent question. But,
absolutely.
Alas, it was late, and I did not.
All right. Let's see. Emails coming in here. Is Eric going to be by?
I think he is.
No.
Yeah, he'll come by after locker room, whenever that ends. Should be a little early, I think.
I thought it was done.
Because they started a little early today.
Okay.
I saw number 35.
Yeah? I think How's he doing?
It's a new guy. He's got a good height to him.
Yeah.
What was his name? Howard? Travis Howard? Prentice Howard?
Oh, the new cornerback.
Bill Howard?
Justin?
Justin Howard. Yeah, he's got a little height to him, 6'1". He lives up to his billing. That's about all I got.
Javon from Vancouver. I really think Tlaib should not play this week. Give him the week off. Holmes is out, so I think we can and should be able to rely on Dennard and Arrington this week. Is Dane Fletcher going to take a chance with Mayo done for the year, going to get a chance? I think in a reduced role, he'll take the reps that Collins was getting.
Potentially. You know? He has done nothing. How many snaps has he had on defense all year? I can't even think of too many.
No.
So
I believe he had only had one before Mayo got hurt the other day.
So he'll see his role increased, but I don't think he'll have a big role. I think Collins is the guy. I mean, we've talked about it before. You might be grooming Collins as your starter next year. You're not grooming Dane Fletcher as your starter if Spikes leaves. So in a weird, twisted way, maybe this gives Collins a chance to get some reps and kind of expedite the growth.
I was watching Sunday's game with friends and a few. Suddenly became Broncos fans this year.
What?
Go figure.
Paul?
Last week when the Broncos were down by three, they started using the injury excuse. And this week after Brady's interception, I got so much trash talk thrown my way. 3 days later, my voice has not recovered fully from just giving it back to them while they sat there in silence. It was awesome.
We never really talked about that because we don't really have the nitpick segment, but that was a horrific interception that Brady threw.
Yeah.
Like, it was desperate. It reminded me of Super Bowls.
Yep.
You know, it lacked the...
It was kind of like, screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
It failed on all levels because not only it was a bad decision and desperation and all that, it's a terrible throw.
Right. It would just... That would have given
his guy a chance.
Ugly-ass way for that game to end from the Patriots' perspective. Ugly-ass way. But luckily, they made everybody forget about it with a touchdown. But Paul doesn't forget.
She likes it when I call her Charlotta. Is writing in. Today,
she likes it when I call her Shala. Isn't there a song like that?
Yeah.
Big Papa.
She likes it when I call her Big
Pa.
I like it when you call me Big Papi.
Big Papa.
Papa.
Poppy.
That's Goulet.
Papa.
And we turned it to Big Poppy.
Does he have the chops?
Staring
contest. You win again. You always do.
Today it doesn't matter that the email wasn't read, since we know Mayo is out for the season. Huge blow. And yes, you may call me Debbie Downer. I'm assuming we're promoting from within.
Debbie does.
What will this look like? We just talked about that. Who will wear the green dot? We were talking about that too. It could be Hightower, but you never know. It could be McCourty.
Chris Jones. Paul thinks he's a rising star.
Wearing the green dot?
He's really, really just taking it to a level.
Ninkovich, would he be an option?
Possibly.
I don't think Spikes.
I think they...
But it could be.
I think he's going to be out there most plays in this game.
Yes, in this game. Oh, yeah, I was thinking more of a
long-term thing. It can change. Yeah, it can change.
But Spikes will just be out there and go, pow, and no one will know what the signal is.
Putting his spike in the ground.
Spikes goes, all right, they want to play cover two here, but I'm going to do whatever I want anyway because I don't really listen to the call.
This season is getting tougher by the minute. The Saints' win came at a huge price. Let the ledge talk commence.
Wow.
No, the ledge talk would have been had they lost. There would have been a lot of ledge talk had they lost. They won. They have the Jets coming. Fred thinks they're going to score like 35 points against the Jets. All is fine.
I think the Jets game also becomes so much easier to win because you won that game. And I know that they always poo-poo that each week is its own. But I think you ride a momentum wave even with the injuries. I think if you had lost the game and had the injuries, now you got a downtrodden team going on the road.
I don't know. The Saints said that now that they got the monkey off their back of undefeated,
they
can win.
And didn't you think that was one of the dumber comments that you've ever read?
Yes. Shamir from Ottawa. Hey, guys, and Andy. With most of Patriots,
oh, Shamir this.
With most of Patriots Nation looking beyond Sunday's game versus the Jets, a couple things came to mind. One, do you think Sunday's game has the potential to be a trap game? No way. And who's looking beyond the Jets?
Yeah, it.
Well, you for one.
No.
Yeah, but realistically,
I'm just happy we're playing them.
You know, the fact that you could be without yeah. like seven of your top 10 players, that automatically
Plus
makes it
the
not
Jets.
A trap
the
game.
The Jets is. I don't care if you lose to the Jets. You didn't get caught in a trap game because
right.
Belichick takes the Jets too seriously.
Exactly. With the Jets getting Sudfeld shortly after he was cut by the Patriots, do you think this move was really about the fact that they needed him more for intel?
No, yes. I think this one was about the fact that they have absolutely no personnel on offense. Yeah. And they need anybody they can get. They're going to take a shot with this guy. Now, yeah, does it help that he played for the Patriots? I'm sure that helps them a little bit. But they have no weapons at all. You know, all due respect to Fred's guy, Jeff Cumberland. You know, and we all know Fred is an expert at undeveloped tight end talent.
Expert?
Yeah, expert. Zach Sudfeld, Jeff Cumberland. These guys, they all hit it big.
One of these things doesn't belong.
When Fred declares them. So,
at least Cumberland's caught some passes. I don't believe he's 0 for 3 with all three plays ending in the other team's hands.
He is so unbelievably negative.
He really is.
The truth is never mean.
It's
Eric,
a little mean in that case.
Eric's here. Just came back from the locker room.
Yep. See, that
Tom
waffle
Brady
is and... not where, anywhere near close to the shirt. You guys tell me that he always wears a waffle that's a shade off from the shirt.
Not
yeah,
always. I got him out of that, obviously.
You got him out of his shirt. What it's are you not, two doing in your office?
He usually wears a maroon.
Eric,
maroon.
Speaking of maroons.
Eric, I hear you really gave a left hook to Rex Ryan.
Good point.
You want to talk about the locker room that
oh.
I just came back from?
Oh, really?
Yes. Tell me about Amendola. He was not there.
Oh, I was told that he was.
He walked from with his headphones on.
Oh, I didn't see that. I might have been in a scrum.
So he didn't speak.
He didn't speak, yes. That's okay. correct. Austin Colley did at length. So that might be a decent post story if we're looking for any.
Oh, good. Thanks.
And
great.
Probably should write that while he's
exactly.
still relevant and an option and all
right.
that.
Good. Great. Grant.
No,
thanks,
it's actually
Eric.
Fairly.
You got it transcribed?
No, I don't. But I'm sure other people will.
Did Tlaib talk?
Tlaib was not seen either.
He said he was going to talk.
He did say that.
So did Tommy Kelly. You know what happened to Tommy Kelly? He DNP'd.
Now, right. what did you guys think of Tlaib, the way he moved on Monday? Because I was told today that he was not moving very well on Monday.
I heard just the opposite.
In the
yeah,
locker
I heard
room,
the opposite
I was there.
In the
okay.
locker room, I heard he had a shuffle to his step.
No.
I think he always does, though.
Yeah.
He always kind of has
yeah,
like
he was
a little
no,
strut.
Kind of close together, kind of.
Oh, really?
Back and forth.
Yeah, I don't know.
But why was he in there?
On Monday?
Fred Kirsch once told me, if something happens in front of the media,
mm-hmm.
it's intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So was he in there because he's not going to play, but they wanted the Jets to prepare for him to play?
True.
Or is he in?
Could
you
be.
Know.
I actually agree with an emailer earlier that said I wouldn't play him in this game because I don't think they need him against this anemic attack.
Well,
I would,
and
I
also
would,
the
I would
fact
rest,
that, also the
I
fact that he
him.
Didn't practice and didn't show up in the locker room today
is bad.
Is bad, and also mm-hmm. tells the Jets maybe he's not going to play.
And Amendola as well?
Was not at practice, right. correct?
I'm just trying to catch up in the morning.
Dan,
I asked Fred
right.
the things I needed to know, and I got stuff like Jeff Cumberland is the next Kellen Winslow.
Five players, Paul, were not at practice today. Obviously, the four guys who got hurt on Sunday, Mayo went on IR, so
correct.
He wasn't going to be out there. But
I knew that one.
Amendola, Connolly, Tlaib were not out there joining Washington and Kelly, who both were absent last week because of what they have had happened to them in Cincinnati.
Don't you think Washington could get cut soon?
I absolutely think that.
Because they're right on the verge of having, like...
I'm surprised they've waited this long,
all
honestly.
Their injury players, you know, mm-hmm. they might not be able to put together a 46.
Well, the
right.
inactives are all hurt at
yeah.
this point. I think there's a very good chance of that.
I do, too.
You know, they might give him the Adrian Wilson treatment and put him on IR or something.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance that he...
I
no
too.
Longer be on the roster soon.
I do too, but it's soon. It better be soon because, like Andy said, they're losing the ability to field a healthy 46.
Mm.
So they're gonna have to make a move soon. Dane Fletcher and Dante Hightower were
dotted,
as you might expect, were popular guys in the locker room today. Hightower essentially, you know, was asked about the dot and. Yeah, it's something I'm comfortable with. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to doing it. So he's going to be the guy that takes over in that spot. He did it when Mayo left the game, and he's done it before when Mayo has left games or not been in there.
He's the most obvious candidate.
So, but I think Fletcher is also an obvious candidate to fill in when they go into base.
Oh, yeah.
As the third linebacker.
I think he and Jamie Collins will have some sort of a rotation split.
Collins was not there to speak to us today, but
he was at practice, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But not in the locker room. Devin McCourty spoke. I was in the Hightower scrum at the time, but a lot of people are assuming that if Belichick decides to name another captain, that it's going to be McCourty because he's had experience doing it. I have my money on Rob Ninkovich.
That's what I said earlier. I think Ninkovich, and we got a dark horse in Tlaib.
I don't know if that's something that we'll decide to do. I don't know if that's something that we think is the right thing to do.
Well, so, we don't even know what we say to our players when we talk to them every day.
I figure that out, I'll let you know who I think that will be, if I think it's a good thing to do.
When you two are done being a-holes, I was just going to pose
the facts. That's all we're
yes,
doing.
Yes, I know, being a-holes. The Tlaib thing might play into the... Right. Oh, yeah, I'm good at it. The Tlaib thing might play into, you know, he likes it here, he fits in here. Oh, we made you a captain. Don't you want to stay in contract extension?
That's my thinking.
But see, they already extended Ninkovich.
I don't want to be no captain. What are you making me a captain?
My argument here is they've already extended Ninkovich.
That was my argument for him, too, that they did extend him. He's here for a while.
Right.
Perfect Patriot.
And he's been acting like a captain pretty much for the last...
Sure.
3 or 4 years.
Sure.
He's a guy, you can always rely on him to talk.
Guess what?
Post-game.
You could name two if you wanted.
Well, yeah, you could.
Since you didn't have a full amount to start, and you lost both your defense, you could name two.
And your other healthy captain could actually go out there for the coin toss if he so chose.
And thankfully,
well, he does warm up. Before. You always make fun of him for that. You know, he does warm up before the game.
He warms up plenty. He can go out there for 30 seconds for a coin toss.
But it's... I just think the amount of vitriol that you show over the fact that Tom Brady stays on the sideline
it
for the
I think it's a disrespect to the other
captains. I just
captains.
Think it's his routine.
See, I don't think it's a disrespect. It just bothers me that everybody else does it, or a lot of quarterbacks do it. And, you know, this is a stupid thing, but when they send out, like, the kids who have, like, miracle diseases and they're dying,
he's not
they're
one
not
of the
with
people
Tom
there.
Brady. Exactly. They want to be with Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I think
it bothers me a little too. Not to anywhere near the degree it bothers Eric, but
I'm a superstitious guy, and I am certainly a routine guy.
And they've lost games and won games with Tom Brady.
I know,
not
but
warming
that's
up.
Not the
I mean,
point.
Not at the coin toss.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't.
Of course,
I just,
you don't. You don't support Make a Wish.
Unbelievable. How come every time we see those videos with Make a Wish, it's Tom Brady?
You know what's unbelievable?
Because Tom Brady
on
has
him?
Copies of those printed and distributed.
My criticism of Tom Brady has never approached anything like what he just did in the last 30 seconds.
But his criticism is he sucks, he can't play postseason. Good luck winning with him.
I've never said that.
I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I would just like him to watch the coin toss.
I've never said that. You think he's a pretty bad human being.
No, I don't.
You just said it.
I think he's a little bit of a self-promoter.
You just said that he
that
has
doesn't
all
make
these
you
things.
A bad human
you know,
being.
He only does these things because he gets it out there.
I think 99% of the people that do that stuff are self-promoters and do it for the cameras and... I don't include him in that small group. I mean, that large group. I don't know what I said.
I don't even
he
know what he's
humanity.
Talking
about. He just
no,
hates
I don't.
Everybody.
You do.
Everybody's
a
fraud.
Tough
I just think
and
he
because
should go
there
out
are
there.
So many frauds, you know, he happens to be right a lot, but everybody's a fraud.
Not everybody, but a lot.
Seems that way.
What portion do you
just
think?
You just said 99%.
No, I think 99% of the people that do a lot of that stuff and
are
happens
frauds.
To be on camera, no, they're self-promoters. Doesn't mean you're not doing a good deed. Doesn't mean you didn't make the kid happy. I just think there's other people that do it when no one knows. You know, I've read some stuff
only
about
1%.
John Cena is like the all-time Make-A-Wish leader.
Right.
Like
right.
He does it nonstop.
And you don't know about
and they almost never, like sometimes he surprises them and he'll fulfill it when they didn't know he was going to fulfill it or whatever.
Right.
And I just, you don't have to do it for an ESPN special.
Sure.
You can just do it.
Garland, Seattle Pats fan,
Judy.
Says, I was very impressed when Austin Collie, when he came into the game and caught those two passes. He seems to know when to come back to the ball to receive it, and, in my opinion, has really good instincts. I know he has a concussion history, but if he can stay healthy, I think he can be a big contributor. On another note,
yes,
I think Jamie Collins will finally get a chance to show the Patriots how good he is. He has the speed that the linebackers have been missing, and he can certainly tackle. Let's not despair over the injuries yet.
I mean, I think Austin Collie, he's proven himself a pretty productive receiver in the NFL when he can be healthy. Like, I don't think there's any question of that. He's certainly more productive than Robinson or, you know, some other guys that are just sort of bounce around receivers.
Right, but again, he's the same thing with Amendola. You're productive when healthy, but the problem is you're more times not healthy than healthy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like Collie better than Robinson, but I don't think it's much difference.
Oh, I do.
Robinson had a year that's much more productive than anything Colley ever
had.
One year.
You're big on those ones.
No, well, I think Colley's had 2 years that he's had any sort of production.
He had three. But
I mean, his career high is like 50 catches, isn't it?
I think that's relatively productive in the NFL.
Okay, well, Robinson had a lot more than that in the 1 year.
No, I know. He had one breakout year, which earned him a contract and earned him cut the next year.
Well, he got the concussions. It's the same thing.
No, I know.
He's not out of the job because he couldn't play in his new place.
He's not as good as Colley, in my opinion. That's what I'll tell you.
I think Colley's a little bit better than Robinson. So you think he's a lot better than Robinson.
I think they're different players.
It's a typical Paul and Andy here.
I didn't have any question if Austin Colley has a knee, first of all, that works, that allows him to run at whatever speed he used to run,
right,
and his head was on, that he would catch passes, that he could come in here in any given game, catch 8 or 10 passes. But on any given game, the 8th, the 9th, or the 10th catch could send him to the sideline and to the end of his career.
I have to admit
that happens, let's use him.
You have, like, no soul at all, do you? None.
It's about winning football games.
I have to be honest, like, he caught the first pass, the 15-yarder, and he's cutting down the seam, and then he dove forward, and I was like, oh, thank God.
But you're going to do that forever.
No, but that's my first thing. I was like, oh,
I'll be doing the same thing on Sunday with Danny Amendola if he steps on the football field.
I was absolutely thinking.
I'll be stunned if he does.
First hit.
I will be pleasant.
I'm a little bit more, now that I know that he wasn't at practice today, I'm a little bit more confident that he's not going to play, but I still think he's going to play Sunday, and
I'll be stunned.
I'm fretting, as they say.
Fred Zeppelin. Fred thinks if he plays, he's been cleared.
Right. Yes. What could go wrong?
So nothing. You know, I bet Austin Colley was cleared a few times before he got more concussions.
Rob in Edgewater, New Jersey. Hey, guys, and Eric. After Sunday's win, I'm pretty excited to be headed to MetLife on Sunday. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan, raised in New Jersey, went to John Smith soccer camp and became a fan, who has been attending this intense rivalry every year since 1979. I have dodged D-cell batteries in 85 at age 17 and survived beer showers and hot dog chunks on the ramps in my Bledsoe jersey.
This is my guy right here. He's right around my same age.
This
is my guy. Bledsoe shirt.
Each year I await the Each year I await the assault of the heathens. It's always a tense week leading up to it, as there is no worse feeling than losing to Coach Footy and Gangrene. I'm optimistic, despite Sunday's injuries, that Belichick will outthink Dopey Rex. Hope that Tlaib will play and Gronk will make his long-awaited return. As for the rest of the season, I guess I'll take it week by week. Sunday, I'm taking my converted fiancé to her first NFL game.
Converted from what?
From a guy to a woman?
If anyone is planning a Patriots tailgate in New Jersey, we would love some friendly company. We will bring goodies. For that matter, if you guys are floating around, I would love to buy you a beer, although I prefer just to give you one in the parking lot.
Freddie, go find this guy. He sounds like my kind of guy.
Go on Patriots.com.
Edgewater.
Go on Patriots.com into the fan club registry. Find out where the New Jersey and or New York fan clubs are and find out what they're doing before the game.
That's like Fred's way of saying I ain't coming.
screw you.
Let's see. Travis in Collierville says, sorry, Paul, for shocking you at the end of the show yesterday. It was reminiscent of Eric being caught off guard by a naked woman. I want to briefly explain. I wasn't taking anything away from the effort of the Patriots made to win and the opportunities they took advantage of. A win is a win, and I was happy they won.
I know what you meant.
But I hate when a bad call, or in this case, what happened in replay as the wrong call on the false start penalty on 4th-and-1. That gave the Patriots the time to get back in the game, and therefore the refs having a direct effect on the outcome of the game. I know it's a reach, but that's just the way my crazy mind thinks sometimes. I smell some G-rated monster cookies cooking up to ship up after the bye weekend as long as the government opens back up so I can get paid. I'm an air traffic controller.
How much longer we got in this show? Jeff Howe just tweeted, pretty awesome stumbling into the lunchroom to find a free tree of cupcakes from Cupcake Charlie's hanging around.
Why don't somebody run down there?
Well, because we can't steal like 8 cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure you can.
Kevin can.
We got 11 minutes left. Think we can get down there before they're gone?
Got it. Are you kidding me?
Media workroom.
With that media horde? No way.
That's horde.
As in what Paul does often, hoard himself out.
Scott,
not
Bristol,
very well. I'm still waiting for a check.
Does anyone else feel like the Patriots are in a better position to absorb the loss of Mayo as opposed to the loss of Wilfork? I know losing both of them is tough, but taken in a vacuum, I think we have a better backup linebackers. Having said that, with the loss of Mayo, I think there is some added pressure to the linebackers, but more on the line to handle their gaps in the run and get upfield on obvious passing downs. You guys rock. Also, what was Eric's face like when Brady brought them back to win? I assume he would be the person running out of the press box and not Paul.
No, that was Paul.
No, I mean...
I did not run.
No.
Why would...
Give him a no.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've seen Brady do it a million times, just like all of you people have.
37. Before
so it wasn't surprising at all.
It doesn't make it any easier.
And I don't cheer whether they win or lose. So why would you think I'd be happy that they would...
You don't cheer when they win?
No.
Oh.
I'm not a fan, Fred.
Oh.
Save that one.
I'm a fan.
Neither are you.
I'm a fan.
No, you're not.
Just so
you
know, Fred,
of who or what.
I can honestly say I've never heard you cheer after a Patriots win.
No, but I'm happy.
No, but I've never heard you cheer.
No, because we're not
so
allowed
to. So why
are
you chastising Eric for not cheering?
You're also not allowed to bitch like you do either.
Do you cheer mentally?
Yeah.
No, I like to see them do well. Obviously, it helps us. We get the benefits of that. We get to go to playoff games and Super Bowls.
Right, but you don't want them to win. You don't care.
Oh, I'm not like a fan getting all sad and depressed when they lose.
But you're not rooting for them to win.
Not rooting for them to lose either.
But you're not rooting. You're neutral.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a true journalist.
So you don't root them.
Eric is a true journalist.
So you don't.
I don't know why that's funny. It's fact.
It's just the way you said it.
Well, I mean,
true journalist.
Every game I've ever covered in anything, whether it be the Patriots or back when I was doing high school sports. 5 minutes into the game, I root for one team.
You pick
over
a side.
I pick a side.
Yeah,
happens
to always be the other team. But.
No, but like.
But it's more fun to watch sports if you.
I can't.
Pick a side.
I can't watch. Yeah. I cannot watch a game.
But we're not doing this for pleasure. We're doing
this
for paycheck.
This is work. But I've never watched a game and didn't root for one side over the other.
Oh, now, I do it all the time.
I might have a reason for
I sometimes
it going
change.
In. There might be other reasons, but I'm telling you. I used to cover a boatload of high school games in all different sports and had no idea from one
but that's
to
different.
The next.
That's just picking
5 minutes
a
after you get there, for whatever reason, you
I'll
decide
you what,
I'm rooting for that team.
I'll tell you what I do.
And let me guess, it's always something that the one team did that pisses you off.
Sometimes that's the reason.
That's usually what I do.
If it was girl sports in high school, if there was a hot girl on one team, I would start rooting for that team.
Creepy.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, though,
this was 25
Freddie,
years ago, and I was their age.
I do root for... Yeah,
you weren't there.
I do root for certain players
older.
Who I kind of like Amendola. Like, I want Amendola to do well because I think he's a nice kid, and I want him to do well. And I feel bad when...
You want him to live.
When he gets... Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want him
well,
to...
You don't care. You just have a very cavalier attitude. As long as he's been cleared.
Right.
Okay.
So, things like that.
Well, get what you can get out of him, and then we'll move on.
Like,
exactly.
Watching him get all jelly-legged on the sideline was troubling.
Eric does.
I didn't like that. I was legitimately, I felt really bad for him.
Oh, I felt bad, too. Absolutely. I don't want to see that to happen to anyone.
But actually, to your point, Paul, about picking a side once the game starts, I find it a lot more fun just to watch the game unfold and not really have a side
I can't
to root
do that
for. I like watching and just seeing what happens.
Yeah. It's like even the Super Bowl, I don't like it when there are two teams that I really don't like or two teams that I do like because I find it hard to root one way or the other.
Right. I have to find a reason to watch, and rooting for a team is why. You know, it's
just just don't like the game itself, like just watching good football?
Well, obviously I would watch the Super Bowl regardless.
No, but I mean...
But it's much more enjoyable to me if I can be... Like, right. I really wanted Baltimore to beat San Francisco last year because I really liked John Harbaugh, and I really kind of don't like Jim Harbaugh. That's why I rooted for Baltimore over San Francisco.
I pick a reason to root for a team, whatever that reason is.
I'm with Eric. I can just watch a game.
I can't.
I'll like a big hit. I'll like a big run. I'll like it. And that may sway me. I may see it. You know, I like this guy. I'm pulling for this team now after I have watched a few plays.
Or if one team is clearly playing better, doing well... And then, calls aren't going their way, or you're like, this team should
swayed.
Win.
You can be swayed.
Yeah,
but I can also just watch.
Exactly.
I love the sport.
I could just watch, but it's not anywhere near as enjoyable for
me. I'm a purist.
Whereas Eric finds it more enjoyable to have that detachment. That's
I don't know about more enjoyable.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I could watch a neutral game and just watch. I watch a lot of college football games that I don't really have any feeling on either side. I found it much more enjoyable, for example... Last weekend when Penn State played Michigan, because I really like Penn State now,
Bill O'Brien.
I'm really rooting for Billy O.
Sure.
So that to me was really fun to watch the 4-overtime game. I would have been watching it anyway because it was a great college football game on it at a time that I was watching. But
it was much more enjoyable to me to have the rooting interest because I was rooting for Billy O.
Patrick says, Eric, what did you mean when you said all you people?
Fans.
When did you say that?
Like 5 minutes ago when we were having this
argument. Eric taking my mantle as the fan hater now.
Andy fans. Just mentioned how good John Cena was at doing Make-A-Wish appearances but not promoting it. Two things. One, the wrestling Mother Teresa that Cena might be is on the road constantly, absolutely all the time. He's everywhere. Therefore, it has to be easier to be near someone that is hoping to have a wish granted. Still said, kudos to Cena. And two, the fact that Andy knows Saint Cena is granting all these wishes like a meathead genie of the lamp means that his PR team is getting it out. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about it.
No, it actually came from Make-A-Wish.
Still said, kudos to Cena.
It actually came from a story I read in Make-A-Wish that actually did a rundown of the people who have done the most.
When you want to be a cynic, you will find everything you need to fulfill that desire. The world is how you see it, Andy.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I'm a cynic. I see the bad in people. I question everything. Fred's right, and I'm normally right because, unfortunately, in this world, there's a lot of frauds. I mean, in celebrity, whether it's movie stars, politicians, athletes.
99%.
No. You see, that doesn't hold to everything. I said 99% of the people that do it to promote themselves, self-promoters.
Right. Frauds.
Were you always like that?
Oh, yeah. I've been a cynic my whole life.
Why?
Really?
I don't know. Isn't that?
How do you think that started?
I know?
No one's born a cynic, so something must have happened.
Whoa. How do you know no one's born a cynic?
You can't. That's not a natural.
That doesn't seem natural.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be born with a wide-eyed innocence?
That's a nurture thing. You're made to be a cynic.
So blame my mother.
She made you a cynic?
No, I don't blame it on your mother.
Could be.
Your mother's an absolute saint for,
Oh, get off.
I know last night she made me one.
Oh, wow.
That seems inappropriate. Wow. That's just, my boss.
That's just poor to me.
If I had a... Forget it.
What do you got?
Here
we
go. Cupcake.
Boy. Oh,
Justin,
Kevin comes
time.
Through.
Well done, Kevin.
Kevin comes through. Wow.
What do we got there?
We got a Patriots one. We got a couple chocolates.
Fred, you can have that one.
I'll take the pink one, Andy.
I can take any of the three in a line.
That's called the Twix a bitch.
I'm
taking
that.
Twix a bitch?
Christian says, and that is why we hate you, Eric.
Who said that?
Christian.
With the T-I-A-N?
No, it's another Christian.
Oh, well, then it doesn't matter. With the T-I-A-N is the only Christian that matters.
So Andy's checked out because there's cupcakes here. So we still have.
Well, it's got a graham cracker bottom. It's got like caramel in the middle. It's got phenomenal frosting. This cupcake, Charlie knows what he's doing.
Not surprisingly, I took the Patriots cupcake.
Good, Paul. Paul.
I'm the only one in this room that's a season ticket holder without having.
I'll read Neil in England's email. Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Why did we replace Wes Welker with Danny? Oh, not on the Mendola. Wes is still producing in Denver week after week, and the Patriots continue to struggle on offense week after week. I know we have our injuries, but why let Wes go and replace him with a known injury-prone player? Danny's a good player, but is injury-prone. This decision is really starting to hurt us now. I know we won on Sunday, but did you see the struggle we had moving the ball in the second half, which was only redeemed by a fantastic throw in the last 5 seconds by Tom in the debacle in Cincy? We will never know how good this team would have been. Now that we have a defense, if Wes was still here, but at least Tom would have had somebody he could rely on. Thanks for a great show. In all honesty, guys, how much better do you think the offense would be? Everything else happened the same. Hernandez, if Welker was here, how much better do you think they would be?
I think they would be more productive on offense, like on third downs. They wouldn't have as many three and outs as they've had.
Amendola?
Yeah.
With Amendola or without?
No, without Amendola. You kept Welker and you didn't sign Amendola.
I think they'd be more productive on offense.
They'd be more productive. He'd be on the field more often because he was always durable.
And they'd be
here.
Making more third down catches and extending drives.
Yeah.
Significantly so.
Do you think significantly better?
Yeah.
Eric's right.
Okay.
And, I'm not the hugest Welker guy, but he'd have been out there every game, and we know that he would have 60 catches by now because Brady just would have thrown it to him every play.
You know we're not BSers around here, Fred, so we don't just promote Patriot Place establishments because they're here. That was a phenomenal freaking cupcake that I just had.
Right. And that last one's mine, by the way, so don't even think about it.
I don't like chocolate cupcakes, but mine had literally...
I don't either, really.
You don't?
I'd rather have vanilla.
I would have given you this one, though.
Okay, it's okay.
You could give it to him now.
That's already half eaten.
Yeah, half eaten.
They're phenomenal, though. I urge people to check out Cupcake Charlie's.
Cupcake Charlie's at Patriot Place. That, I guess they're all over the place, though, right?
I believe it's a local chain.
Yeah, but come to the Foxborough.
Yeah, I know. I send them to Patriot Place, and Fred goes, well, no, don't come to Patriot Place. You'll find it somewhere else.
Our listeners are all over the world, so they can't.
If you're in downtown Budapest, check out Cupcake Charlie's.
might be going there.
If you're on the East Coast of Australia, check out Cupcake Charlie's.
Robin in Alaska, we'll end it with this one. Andy just said, blame his mother. The idea that Andy has mommy issues actually explains so much.
Yeah, see? It's mommy's fault.
You have mommy issues?
I don't know.
That's
guess
what
so.
He said or she said or whatever that was.
Yeah. That's what she said. Yeah,
on the therapy couch, it would all come out. Have you ever thought about going to therapy?
Andy? Andy in therapy just like bawling 5 minutes in?
I think
he would be like
in the fetal position in the corner just crying his eyes
out. He'd be like Tony Soprano with Dr. Melfi.
Right. It might be good for you.
Doesn't he bang her?
No. Tried.
He tries.
Oh.
No.
But I was going to say, maybe I'll check this therapy thing out.
It might be good for you to do some therapy.
I do therapy every day on this show. This is our therapy. Yeah. We call each other out on our idiocies.
All right, John Rooks here. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
All right, so what do you got going today?
Well, I think what we have to do is try to figure out who's the next man up in a lot of different places.
That's absolutely right.
Because quarterback being one of them for you.
No, I don't think we have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to do that.
I saw a bunch of people with pitchforks and torches.
Who won the game on Sunday?
Patriots.
Yeah, and you selected to win the game? Who did you pick to win
the
game?
Oh, I took the Saints.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And who did I pick to win the game?
I'm guessing the Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, there you go.
By three. Okay. Wow.
Boom so goes this the dynamite.
Guy. Boom goes this the guy. Dynamite. He thought Mallett was going to lead the victory, but. You
know. No, absolutely not. In fact,
he was
I'm on record
Taj
as saying
Boyd
is that I'm not a Ryan Mallett fan. I don't think he's the answer.
Irving Fryer indicted on mortgage fraud charges. Did you see that?
Oh, seriously?
Morgan? Stanley Morgan charges?
Irving Fryer
indicted on mortgage fraud charges.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, who's next man up for that one?
Reverend Irving.
Oh, who hasn't been?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But that's what we'll be discussing. Next man up situations today.
All right, John. We'll have a good show.
Yeah.
And then replay of this show at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hopefully there's cupcakes.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.